Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Ferocious storms batter the plains, and Oklahoma is ground zero for the wicked weather.
A powerful tornado in Oklahoma ripped roofs off buildings, knocked down power poles, and sent emergency crews rushing into a rural community near Vance Air Force Base.
Look at that. It's a satellite tornado. Good night.
Video provided by KWTV. KOTV shows multiple occurrences across a field.
Tornado on the ground going through the wind farm out here.
Destroying buildings in its path.
Beast in the trees.
As debris flew through the air, the confirmed tornado moved across parts of Enid, a city of about 50,000 people. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
In South Georgia, around 90 homes burned by wildfires fed by gusty winds and tinder dry conditions. Tens of thousands of acres have been charred with only minimal containment of those fires so far. President Trump takes the wraps off a deal with another drug maker to lower its pharmaceutical prices.
The president is touting Regeneron's decision to make its products more affordable to American patients.
It's agreed to offer their prescription medications at heavily discounted most favored nation prices.
The deal involves Regeneron lowering the prices of current and all future drugs on Medicaid. It also involves selling a cholesterol drug on the White House's discounted drug website. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The president has extended a waiver that makes it easier for foreign vessels to transport oil and natural gas to the U.S. It's a 90-day waiver of the Jones Act, and it has sent crude prices modestly lower this morning. And ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, stock futures are mixed. The Dow futures are down 131 points. On the NASDAQ, futures are up almost 300 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Spring cleaning isn't just for your house. It's for your life. If your job is getting old, it's time to clear the clutter and spring into IT. Go to My Computer Career.
My Computer Career helped me get the skills and certifications I needed to start a new life as an IT professional in months, not years.
Earn the certifications the top employers are looking for right now. Visit MyComputerCareer.edu. And take the free career evaluation to see if it's time to spring into IT. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
Good morning. It's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Audiology Associates. The Baltimore County Revenue Authority has announced a $1 flat rate evening parking program at several Towson area garages. The lower parking rate is designed to encourage visitors to shop, dine, and enjoy Towson's downtown area while easing congestion caused by drivers circling for curbside parking. The new rate applies to all vehicles entering participating garages after 5 p.m. and exiting before 4 a.m. the next morning. The flat fee is now available at the library parking facility on East Towson Town Boulevard, the Baltimore Avenue parking facility on West Susquehanna Avenue, and the Tolbert parking facility on Ware Avenue. And drivers can expect lane and ramp closures along the southbound Jones Falls Expressway in Baltimore as crews carry out graffiti removal, weather permitting. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and one of the owners at Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balanced care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore and Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. As doctors of audiology, we care for patients' hearing and balanced care. If you feel like the TV is louder than your family would like, or if you're asking family members to repeat themselves often, it is time to have your hearing evaluated by a doctor of audiology. Our doctors treat a wide range of hearing issues. Sometimes a solution is as simple as removing wax from your ear canal. So call our main number at 410-944-3100, or you can visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, and hearing aids may be covered as well. So call our office at 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates, when silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
The pick was in last night for Baltimore, and Penn State guard Venga Ioane is a Baltimore Raven.
Had the chance to watch him play a couple of years at both left and right guard. Physical, tough, very athletic for his size. Excellent in pass protection, a great fit for our offense and what we're trying to accomplish.
Ravens GM Eric DaCosta describing the 6'4", 325-pound guard, the first lineman selected by the Ravens in the first round since Tyler Linderbaum in 2022. Head coach Jesse Minter says Ioane was the perfect choice.
The guy that we got as a first pick is the epitome of what we want the team to be like. You know, a line of scrimmage, dominant team. So really physical, really great player, and he's everything that we want our guys to be.
Ioane didn't allow a sack in his 2 years as a starter at Penn State and didn't draw a single penalty flag either.
For me, when I get there, I'm bringing, you know, my pass protection. You know, that's something I work on every day. On the pass game, I'm coming in with, you know, the mentality that I'm not trying to get beat. Nobody's going to touch my quarterback, and as simple as that.
Lamar was sacked 36 times last season, and much of that pressure came from up the middle. Coming up in 30 minutes, what NFL analysts are saying about Venga Ioane, the newest Baltimore Raven. And that is Tonight on Sports. Gary Stein here. If your heating or AC system gives you trouble, you need a company you can count on. That's why I recommend Farnan and Dermer, serving Baltimore for 125 years and one of the few that offer same-day service while others are a week or more out. Plus, take advantage of interest-free financing for up to 60 months on select systems and BGE rebates of up to $3,000 on high-efficiency HVAC systems. Tell them I sent you and get an AC system tune-up for just $99. Call 410-367-7777. That's Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys. They're my guys.
WCBM News Time 9:06. Here's the forecast from the Fox 45 Weather Authority.
Your Fox 45 forecast, partly cloudy and mild again today with temperatures in the mid-70s. We are tracking a few showers late tonight as our next weather maker starts to push in with lows in the low 50s. And then we've got showers on Saturday with highs in the low 60s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
64 in Westminster, 65 in Easton, and 65 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM. News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday. That's right. You made it to the weekend. Pat yourselves on the back. You know, it's a blessing to be here on this Friday. And I will say, if you are in the Baltimore region, the traffic's okay. It's not fantastic. Usually on Friday, it's a bit better. But it is what it is, right? We're just happy that it's Friday at this point. We got lots to talk about today. I got two in-studio guests. That's going to be a lot of fun. Delegate Mike Griffith is going to join us. He's going to do his session wrap-up. And then we're, of course, going to talk about Kanaya's Law. Remember Kanaya Ward? She is the beautiful 16-year-old that was found dead in a hotel room in Baltimore City under the care of HHS here in the state of Maryland. And she was in the foster care system. And her mother thought she was doing the right thing because she was. She was unfortunately suicidal, unfortunately mentally unstable. And the state said, hey, you know what? We can help out with this because obviously you can't be with her around the clock. You got to work. And so she allowed the system to take her daughter. And she thought she was doing the right thing. Unfortunately, the system failed her and her daughter. And so apparently in the foster care system, there's been a lot of failures. And so we'll speak to Delegate Mike Griffith about some of those failures, the law that he passed, and what, you know, we can do better, I think, here in the state when it comes to our foster care system, because we found out a lot with all of this. We found out some of our kids in the foster system are in homeless shelters. I don't think anybody was thinking that was happening, right? Some of these young kids in homeless shelters, really? There's a lot of people mentally unstable in these shelters, and to find out that some of these kids were with them, absolutely heartbreaking. There were more kids at that time in Baltimore City hotel rooms all by themselves. That's concerning. They're telling us that they got them all out. We'll talk to Doug and Mike Griffith about that. And then also we had a situation where we had kids that were living in hospital rooms. Yes, if you're not here in the state of Maryland, you might most likely didn't hear about this. I was hoping it was going to go viral. It'll be a big headline. But we had kids in the foster care system actually living in hospitals. Say something happened, they visited a hospital. If they didn't have anywhere to place that kid after the hospital stay, they were telling the kids just to stay in the hospital. Just stay in the hospital. Now, if you were a kid and you're trying to go back and forth to school, what was that like for those children? I can't even imagine. Anyways, we'll talk to Delegate Mike Griffith about that at 10 o'clock. Like I said, he'll be here in studio. Also in studio at 11 o'clock, we got our friend Kenny Ebron. Now, Kenny is in West Baltimore, has been there his entire life, has watched, you know, whether it was from the riots way back when in the 60s, watched what happened after the 2015 riots with Freddie Gray. He was there as the supposed money was supposed to be coming to West Baltimore. And he's going to join us today. We're going to talk about what did West Baltimore get out of the deal? Because Barack Obama and the late Elijah Cummings, you know, the congressman there in the 7th District, they got together and they secured millions of dollars after the death of Freddie Gray. And they put it supposedly into that Penn North corridor. And so I would love to know from Kenny's perspective where West Baltimore is today with the millions of dollars that was spent in that area. Now, of course, this also brings up the youth fund. I know Tori Snow mentioned it yesterday, but, you know, the youth fund was also really, it was supposed to be utilized, concentrated in that area as well, because you had a lot of young people that had, you know, been a product of their environment, and they were supposed to help those young people in that area. So we're going to talk to Kenny Ebron at 11 o'clock. Now, I know my opinion on it because I go back and forth to West Baltimore here and there. But you know what? Don't take it from me. Don't take it from me. Take it from somebody that's there. Okay, so Kenny's going to join us at 11 o'clock. I did want to talk about the latest with the Baltimore City Mayor, Brandon Scott. Apparently, you know, when it comes to the Ravens and the Orioles games, and it's not just Mayor Scott. This has been going on for quite some time. But you have a lot of mayors and elected officials, even the governor, they have their boxes, right? They have their box, the mayor's box, the governor's box, and usually they do invite friends and family up and, you know, other elected officials, sometimes celebrities, to hang out with them during the games. And so with all the spending that Mayor Scott has been doing, he was asked by Mackenzie Frost of Fox 45, he was asked whether or not he was taking anybody, you know, that wasn't really... shouldn't be, I guess, on taxpayer dime to some of these games and having them in these boxes, whether it's popping bottles, because we found out about all this, popping bottles, you know, all this food, you name it. He was spending thousands upon thousands of dollars at Orioles games and Ravens games. And so, of course, Mackenzie Frost did some digging. Well, at the time when she asked Mayor Scott about it, he said, well, you know, I was helping out those that have never been in that position, right? These people that have never had the opportunity, not even just to go to a box, but he said never even had the opportunity to step foot in the stadium. And that was a quote, and I even have the audio for you. That was a quote from the mayor. And so, of course, Mackenzie Frost, being the investigative reporter that she is, she said, okay, well, let me go ahead and take a look who's actually hanging out in the box. And so this actually goes with the question of the day. You know what? I'm going to give it to you right now. It's at WCBM.com. If you haven't already, please make sure you download the app because you can always take the poll question there right on the app. But I wanted to ask you about this. And again, this isn't to beat up on Mayor Brandon Scott because he's not the first one. He's not the only one that does this. But the question is simple, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Should the mayor and governor be able to treat family and friends to sporting events with taxpayer money? Do you think that's appropriate? Because we're often talking about the proposed budgets. We're often talking about what taxpayers are paying for. Some of the things like even the mayor's SUV. I mean, it was a ridiculous amount of money for his SUV. Now, it's not his personally. He has to leave that for the next mayor. But it was a ridiculous amount. And so even with this controversy between the mayor and the Baltimore IG, you know, they're talking about the amount of money he's spending. He and his team were very upset because she shared a video that a YouTuber posted talking about the mayor's spending and saying that it is also unacceptable in his eyes. Well, anyway, she got a lot of flack for it, in case you didn't hear the show yesterday. She's got a lot of flack for it. And so the mayor's saying, oh, this is racist and this is that and this and the third. But really, it's factual information. Okay, nothing she has said, nothing that this YouTuber said wasn't factual. It was all factual. And so, you know, they don't say that. They don't say, oh, well, they got it wrong. Or, hey, this is misinformation. That's not what they said. They just said, oh, it hurt his feelings. And so that's why I brought this question of the day up, because I wonder if it's time to put that to bed. Or do you feel as though this is just one of the perks of being an elected official? Some people might look at it and say, you know what, it's not that much money. We've got bigger fish to fry. And if he is the mayor, maybe he's inviting other people to town that, you know, could be somebody with a big business that's thinking about coming to Baltimore and setting up shop. And who knows? It could be somebody bringing career opportunities to the city. Right? So I want to get your take on it. Again, WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. If you have the app, you can take the poll question right there in the app. Should the mayor and governor be able to treat family and friends to sporting events with taxpayer money? Do you think that's appropriate? I want to get your thoughts. There's no wrong answer on this, obviously. I really just want to know what you think about it. Like I said, some people think, it's a drop in the bucket. It's not much of anything. All right, so I will start with the show plan as is. I was just saying on the live, I didn't know where I wanted to start this morning because there's a lot of really pressing issues that are local. But I will go ahead and talk about this right out the gate here because it does affect everybody. I know there's people watching the show and listening to the show that don't live in Maryland. Thank you guys so much for doing so. I know you have options, but I wanted to bring up the fact that the Senate Republicans finally got it done. They passed $70 billion, yes, $70 billion for the funding for ICE and Border Patrol. Now, you know what? And we'll get into this in a second because, look, I've been talking a lot about the Senate Republicans. I don't know, Senator Leader Thune, I don't know if he's doing the job that we all expect him to do. The Save America Act still hasn't gone to the floor. That is for voter ID. And so now we're talking about this budget for ICE and for Border Patrol. And now, of course, Democrats have been trying to, you know, put the kibosh on this funding for quite some time. But here's my question. We have the majority. We have a tie-breaking vote with VP J.D. Vance. And you would think, you know, when things get past the House, you would think, because there's a slim majority over there, you would think that the Senate would immediately take it to the floor and take it to a vote. And if it doesn't pass, it doesn't pass. You work on it, right? Well, for some reason, Senator John Thune isn't doing that. And it's really starting to annoy me. I have to be honest with you. Usually I have bones to pick with Democrats, but today I'll tell you, the Republicans, I don't know. I don't know how I feel today. Well, of course, you know, they did pass this budget. Of course, you had Democrats that were very upset because they're the ones that have been putting their arm out about this in the first place. Now, if you recall, we had all these delays at the airports. We had all this madness, this nonsense, especially right here at BWI, because they didn't want to fund TSA or anything else. And so for this to just pass as if it was nothing to get across, you know, you kind of think like, well, you had TSA workers without pay for weeks. And you're telling me it was this easy? All right. Well, anyways, we'll get back to that in a second. I want you to take a listen because, of course, Chuck Schumer, a senator from New York, he had lots to say about it. Take a listen.
Border Patrol and ICE that nobody respects in this country. When America's crying out for real relief on the skyrocketing cost of living, Republicans are spending another $140 billion on Trump's private militia, on these two rogue agencies that have no restraint and ignoring people's real needs. If you ever wanted to know what a bubble these Republican senators are in, look right here. Look right here. Tying the Senate in a knot, holding back, moving forward, all so they can fund with no restraint agencies that have been discredited widely in America. Are you Republicans kidding us? Are you kidding the American people? That's your priority? Not lowering costs, but billions for ICE. Not helping families, billions for masked agents. While America is forking up $4 a gallon at the pump, while families are set back thousands more a year because of inflation. Where the heck are you? Where the heck are you? Republicans think the best thing to do right now is cut another $140 billion check for unaccountable rogue agents. Democrats are ready to go. We'll go to bat for the American people anytime, any place, against anyone.
And there is Senator Chuck Schumer. Go to bat anytime, any place, he says. That guy, how old is Chuck Schumer at this point? I don't know. I think I can put my blind Yorkie poodle up against Chuck Schumer and put money on my dog. I really do. Anyways, beyond that, you know, he's talking about nobody in this country wants to fund ICE or Border Patrol. But yet, that is what everybody voted for. And so let's just remind Chuck Schumer this morning, that is why President Trump won overwhelmingly. You see, the Democrat Party is completely out in left field, right? They really are. Because we want a handle on the border. We want a handle on illegal immigration. And there are many people that want a handle on immigration in general. And so I noticed that Chuck Schumer said there, he goes, oh, you know, there are people paying money at the pump. He didn't say this under Joe Biden, right? He says, oh, well, people can't afford this, can't afford that. But he never mentions how much money we're spending on illegal immigrants. Never mentions it. Well, anyways, Chuck Schumer, I'm not sad that you didn't get your way here. I'm glad that Border Patrol and ICE will be funded. And I'm glad that the TSA agents, the Coast Guard, and so many others do not have to worry about their paycheck for the time being. But what I will say is this for our Senate Republicans, and especially Senator John Thune, I hope you get it together soon, buddy. I hope that we are able to pass more bills like this one soon. Because I'm starting to lose a little patience and a little confidence. This shouldn't be this difficult, and this should have happened months ago. All right. We get back. I do have a little gossip to go into. I know, a little bit off the show plan. And you know what? It has to do with that coach of the Patriots and that former ESPN reporter. I just have to comment on it. I don't usually comment on gossip like this, but I got to do it. But first, we got to see what's going on internationally. We got to see what's going on in the market. Right now, we are going to go to our friend Tim Herb with RBC Wealth Management. He has our morning market flash every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it is Friday. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Happy Friday, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm actually willing to hit the pause button on talking about the markets, the stock market, and the economy just so I can hear your gossip on Coach Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriot coach and the reporter, because I know that's obviously, you know, taking place, and there's a lot of people talking about what's going on there, adding their opinion. So I know I only have a couple minutes to talk about the economy, so unfortunately, I guess I can't go into the gossip.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll definitely discuss.
I'll digress. We'll say that for another time, though. But you definitely have my curiosity for sure. So, hey, with that being said, talk about the markets, what's taking place right now. You know, we're getting, and I've said this before, talked to you about it on Wednesday, kind of just this latest skepticism around the U.S. and Iran peace talks. One minute we're talking about de-escalation, and things look positive as far as peace talks, and that's weighing on stocks. Then all of a sudden we're talking about things taking place with Iran firing on certain boats in their strait and seizing certain carriers. Yeah, and of course, that's spiking some of the concerns again that maybe the peace talks are really not occurring, not happening. And as a result, you know, this week, unfortunately, Kim, right now, the major averages, the three major averages, the S&P 500, the Dow and NASDAQ, are shaping up to be in negative territory. Unless we have a remarkable turnaround here today, the S&P right now is on track for about a 0.3% decline this week, Kim, as is the Dow Jones, those 30 companies. The NASDAQ, again, which is a heavily technology-based index, has fallen about 0.1% this week. Right now, we're still seeing a variety of different news coming out beyond the scope of just what's taking place overseas between the U.S. and Iran, geopolitical tension, S&P 500. We're getting a bunch of companies reporting earnings, and the blended quarter, first quarter earnings growth now stands at about 14.5% growth. 32% of the companies that have reported their earnings thus far, Kim, have exceeded expectations, and actually earnings have surprised to the upside by about 13% in aggregate, which is good for the overall market because, again, everything seems to be right now front and center on the U.S. and Iran conflict. And I think the stock market overall, Kim, wants to kind of move on for this, on from that, I should say, and it, because it's a dynamic, I think, that really is still largely underpinned by, you know, this the ceasefire. Hey, are we having one? Are we not? Are we having these peace talks? And really the expectations, I think, you know, that the market is going to react to these talks and whether they resume over the near term right now. So, you know, we're getting, again, kind of this back and forth action. Ironically, we are seeing some strength in certain areas of the economy here this morning. S&P 500 futures, voting well this morning thus far, up about 22 points for the S&P, while the Dow futures are off 48 8 points, Kim, and the heavily technology-based NASDAQ up a whopping 316 points. Why? Intel. I'm sure you know Intel, the company, soaring about 24% here pre-market. The company posted first quarter earnings that beat Wall Street's expectations. They also had an upbeat forecast for the current quarter. That's helping their particular sector, which are the chip makers, also known as the semiconductor stocks, Kim, posting their 17th positive session in a row. That particular sector is on pace for about a 6% gain here this week. So that's holding up for the market, which is positive. We have to see how things play out the remainder of the day. Again, maybe we get, you know, a positive week, but it would take a remarkable comeback here today on Friday. So let's enjoy the weather for now, Kim. Good luck with the gossip. Look forward to rejoining you on Monday morning. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Tim.
You may have thousands of dollars sitting around your home that you don't realize. The American Bullion Center will buy all of your unwanted jewelry, silverware, and coins. Talk to me, Rick Davis, the owner. I'm available Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So let me help you turn your unwanted valuables into the cash that you can use and deserve today. Visit me at the American Bullion Center, 2334 York Road in Timonium, or call 410-825-2334. License 2528.
Hi, this is Vinny Steo, your home sold guaranteed realty. Are you thinking about fixing up your home before you sell it? My Fix It to Sell program gives you the money upfront to repair or improve your home, and you pay us back when it sells. Visit VinnySteo.com. That's VinnySteo.com.
The Sean Hannity Show.
For anybody that has ever wanted limited government and more freedom, this is probably the only opportunity that we will have in our lifetime to get rid of waste and fraud and abuse. And they're talking about cutting $2 trillion. I think they're serious as hell, and I think it will happen as long as Republican lawmakers go along with what their recommendations are. Those recommendations are expected on July 4th of 2026.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, thank you, Tim Herm, as always, with the Morning Market Flash there. Like I said, and I was just saying this on the live, I do want to talk just a little bit about the gossip. Again, congratulations to Senate Republicans for getting ICE and Border Patrol their funding. That's great news. That is great news. But at the same time, you know, when TMZ first dropped photos with Mike Vrabel and the former ESPN reporter, Deanna Rossini. Diana. No, it has two N's in there. And she still says Diana? See, this is crazy now. You know? This is crazy. Usually white people don't have crazy names like this where you got to try to figure it out. You guys better get back on board, okay? Because this is getting crazy. Well, anyways, Mrs. Rossini, I should say, because she's married. Well, anyways, TMZ had originally dropped some photos weeks ago showing them at some resort, right? And we kind of mentioned it just a little bit. And, you know, the Patriots coach, Mike, you know, he and Mrs. Rossini, both, again, married, both of them are married to other people. They came out and said that they were at a resort and there were other colleagues at this same resort. And, you know, they saw each other there. So when I looked at the photos, I said, you know what? This could be a misunderstanding, right? It could be. Like, I don't just, like, in my mind, I don't immediately jump to somebody having an affair. You know what I mean? And so in the pictures at this resort, you see the coach giving the reporter a hug. But who knows? He could have just saw her and said, oh, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, and then they had a chat. That could have been a situation. Anyways, yesterday, in case you missed it, there were more photos that dropped. And the photos were from 6 years ago in 2020. And they were sitting at a bar, and whoever took these photos, they were holding on to these to get them, okay? Because they were sitting at a bar, their legs are like intertwined as they're on these bar stools. And then there was another photo where he leans in to kiss her. So they've been having an affair. Because now it's been confirmed by the Patriots coach. He had a press conference yesterday. They've been having an affair for 6 years. And this is why I want to comment on this, okay? Because at this point, I mean, you've got to be in love, right? I mean, there's got to be something more. Like, for me, I feel so bad for the spouses. Because 6 years? You've been cheating on your wife? You've been cheating on your husband for six freaking years? I mean, at that point, let your spouse go and live a happy life, and then you get with this, you know, side piece or whatever you want to call it. That's the part that gets me. It's so disrespectful, right? Like, why are you holding your spouses hostage while you're doing your shenanigans for 6 years? Now, the reporter, just so you know, she did resign from ESPN, which kind of raised the eyebrows. But she has since deleted her Twitter account, or X, whatever you want to call it. And like I said, the Patriots coach came forward and said, yes, it's true, I'm sorry. And so, of course, you haven't heard anything from the former reporter, but good Lord. Guys, look, if you're having an affair for 6 years, just be with the mistress, okay? Let the wife live. More coming up.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump is insisting he will not be rushed into prematurely ending the Iran war, suggesting he is in it to finish the job. Mr. Trump says Israel and Lebanon have agreed to extend a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah by 3 weeks after talks at the White House. The president says a meeting of the Israeli and Lebanese ambassadors, second in the past week, went very well. An American soldier is accused of taking a gamble, one that could cost him much more than he won. He allegedly used classified information about the Venezuela mission to win more than $400,000 in an online betting market. Powerful storms have once again pounded the plains with destructive tornadoes and damaging hail reported across parts of Oklahoma and Kansas, and forecasters warn of the possibility of more severe weather into the weekend. More details, srnnews.com.
Hey, Bel Air, this is Alfonso. Come experience one of the area's most exciting new spots from the festival, Sol Oaxaca. We're serving up fresh homemade Mexican favorites, from guacamole made fresh to tacos, fajitas, enchiladas, and more. Love seafood? We've got it. Vegetarian options? Covered. And don't miss our brick oven pizzas and lunch specials Monday through Friday till 3. Join us for lunch, dinner, or drinks 7 days a week. Just Google Sol Oaxaca Bel Air. SOLOAXACA for Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air. That's Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air. Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air. And come taste what everyone's talking about.
Custom home builders and remodelers find Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville so dependable and easy to work with that Jarvis has become the go-to supplier for builders throughout Maryland and Pennsylvania. They provide appliances on time, within budget, and at the right price. Remember, if it cools, freezes, washes, dries, or bakes, sizzles, or air fries, you'll find it all at Jarvis. Go to JarvisAppliance.com. That's JarvisAppliance.com. Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
So apparently protecting Lamar was the number one priority for the Ravens last night, selecting perhaps the best guard in the draft, big 6'4", 325-pound Vavenga Ioane out of Penn State. It was a statement pick, one that Ravens GM Eric DaCosta described as the perfect pick.
I think this guy just really checked off every single box for us as a player. Mentality, personality, ability, skill level, athletic ability, physicality, all those different things at a very high level.
Ioane also highly thought of by, among others, NFL analyst Brian Baldinger.
Been my favorite player since I started studying this draft. You know, last year, Tyler Booker went in the first round to Dallas, and Gray Zabel went in the first round to Seattle, and they both made a big difference. They were really good players. Ioane is better. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's meaner. He looks like the greatest joy he gets in life is taking his opponent and planting him into the turf. He's really good at it.
Ironically, Ioane's parents were against him playing football in the first place, wanting their second youngest of 9 children to concentrate on his studies in his native Samoa.
10th grade came around, wanted to play football real bad, so I signed myself up, got it going, and, you know, hit it from there for a little while, but it didn't last long. You know, wondering where I'm at, so called him. I was like, playing the game right now, so they started showing up.
Press conference this afternoon at 5:30 in Owings Mills to introduce Vavenga Ioane as the newest Baltimore Raven. O's news not so good. Team placing tonight's scheduled starter, pitcher Dean Kramer, on the IL. 15 days with a strained quad, not eligible to return until May 5th. Brandon Young's been recalled. He made a spot start earlier this year in Chicago, pitching 5 innings of shutout ball. He'll pitch tonight against the Red Sox at 7:05. Coming up in 30 minutes, more on the Ravens' first-round draft choice, Vavenga Ioane. And that is Stein on Sports.
Annapolis is crumbling and taking your hard-earned dollars with it. Westmore and the Democrats are destroying our economy, driving up energy prices, prioritizing criminals over victims, and destroying our communities. I'm Shirai Youssefi, and I'm running for delegate in Harford County because we need fighters in Annapolis who will hold Westmore and the Democrats accountable. I'm Shirai Youssefi, and as your delegate, I will fight for policies that prioritize fiscal responsibility, affordability, public safety, and investment in our communities. Vote Shirai Youssefi for delegate on June 23rd, 2026, and visit YousefiForDelegate.com for more information. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Shirai Youssefi, Treasurer Andrew Horvath.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got a mix of sun and clouds today with highs in the mild mid-70s. A few showers are possible by tonight as temperatures fall back into the low 50s. And then our next weather maker moves in this weekend. We are tracking steady rain at times on Saturday, along with much cooler temperatures and highs in the low 60s. Rain showers should get out of here by very early on Sunday, but after that, cloudy and cooler still with highs in the low 60s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hi, Dr. Lairfield here. If you're dealing with missing teeth or loose dentures, we can help at the Smile Design Center. You'll walk out feeling confident, comfortable, and looking great. Call me at the Smile Design Center now for a free consultation at 410-321-1100.
If you've been hurt because someone else was careless, you deserve answers and, of course, compensation. I'm JB the Ouch Guy, and with me, you pay nothing unless we win your case. No upfront fees, no risk, just results. Call 877-OUCH-911 today. Ouch Guy is on your side. Ouch Guy is Yoshua Beer.
From Annapolis to Catonsville, from Dundalk to Reisterstown, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Radio 680.
Happy Friday. Don't forget, at 10 o'clock, we'll be joined in studio by delegate Mike Griffith, and lots to talk about in Annapolis. There won't be any real true gossip on that one. We'll talk all business. But just to kind of wrap things up with the gossip, I just wanted to say, you know, I feel bad for the spouses. Again, we're talking about Diana, because what did I say before? Diana Russini, and then Mike Vrabel. And he is the coach of the Patriots. I just wanted to say, the pictures that were dropped of the ones of them at the bar and their legs intertwined and kissing and everything in 2020, like I said, somebody was holding on to that. And if you see the pictures, they're sitting very close to them. These are people, whoever took that picture, they know them and they know them well. And, you know, you wonder if the people or the person that took the picture of them at the resort is the same person and decided that they wanted to oust them with this affair. But for it to go on for 6 years, and, you know, for some of the video clips, and Brian, the producer, kind of just brought this up. There were video clips of this former reporter, you know, talking about how much fun she had at the resort, where she was caught hugging the Patriots coach. But then also, there were other clips that have been surfacing and kind of circulating of the ESPN reporter doing a sit-down interview with the Patriots coach a couple years ago. Now, imagine, again, they're still having the affair at this point. And there was one clip I saw where she asked him about his wife and whether or not she had any athletic ability, while at the same time having an affair with this man. I don't usually do gossip like this, but I'm like infuriated just, you know, for the wife and the husband. Like, I'm upset for them. I'm upset for them. You know, at that point, you know, please allow your spouse to leave. Tell them the truth. And as I was mentioning on the live too, the way these pictures dropped, you know, a couple weeks after the other photos, I guarantee you that the Patriots coach and most likely that ESPN reporter, they both knew that they were coming out. Because yesterday, the Patriots coach, he actually went up to the podium with a statement, right? It was written. And he most likely knew they were on their way. And you know what happened behind the scenes? They were most likely blackmailed. And somebody probably said to them, but look, if you pay this price, they won't drop. They didn't pay the price, and now they've dropped. Because there's no way in the world those pictures dropped, and then within 2 hours, he's got a written statement, and, you know, he's ready to go on it. Yeah, no way. And she had deleted, by the way, the former ESPN reporter, she deleted her social media. So she was ahead of it, too. Anyways, lesson learned, hopefully, for the both of them. And I will say this, six-year affair, at this point, that's your soulmate, okay? I don't... I mean, at this point, that, you know, that's your person. You know, I don't even know why you're denying anymore. And then also, did you see the comment, Brian, the producer, from Dave Portnoy with Barstool Sports? Well, get this, everybody. I know, it's so much gossip. You're probably like, Kim, enough. But get this. So, they've been having this affair, apparently, for 6 years, right? Confirmed now by the Patriots coach. 6 years. She has a son that is 4 years old. Dave Portnoy pointed out yesterday the son is 4 years old, and you know what she named him? Michael. Like Mike, the coach. The husband's name is not Michael. Anyway. Anyways, we'll leave that right there. Enough of that. Enough of that. Speaking of some other things that I guess it could be considered along the lines of gossip. You got Mackenzie Frost now digging into the fact that Mayor Brandon Scott, even with all his spending, and a lot of it is very much so unacceptable, you know, some of the spending has been going on, you know, even before Mayor Scott got into office, okay? And this is something that we see from the governor. It's something that we see from former mayors. So this isn't really like a beat up on Scott kind of, you know, topic. But he's doing it, right? He's also doing it as well. So anyways, you've got this situation where the mayor has been spending a lot of money. And he did tell Mackenzie Frost at Fox 45 that he was spending a lot of money at the Orioles and Ravens games because he was hosting people that really didn't have an opportunity to ever go to these games. And so it was like a heartwarming story, right? It was like, oh, wow, the DPW worker and his kids, they're in the mayor's box. They're being treated like, you know, first class. And, you know, for me, you guys know, I used to run a nonprofit. For me, when I heard that, I thought, oh, wow, that must have been a really special day for that family. It most likely was a really special day. Well, anyways, it turns out that it's not really just these DPW workers and their families and those that are less fortunate. He's been hosting quite a few different people on taxpayer dime. Take a listen.
When an inspector general report uncovered tens of thousands of dollars spent on food while Baltimore leaders were cheering on the Ravens and Orioles, it was not clear who was benefiting. Mayor Brandon Scott defended the spending, saying there was nothing wrong with how his office spent tax dollars and argued Baltimoreans were benefiting.
Yeah, I think, Mackenzie, we know that you guys want to make this out to be something that is not. Again, it's not just the city of Baltimore. The state of Maryland has skyboxes and have had them forever. And again, you guys are harping on this small amount of money, which you heard again. Nothing illegal was done here.
But is it appropriate?
If it's not illegal, then it's appropriate.
So you think that's okay for tax dollars to be spent on it?
I think it's okay for us to, someone who has spent money to have young people who have never been in that stadium before, who have never gotten invited before, who would have never had the opportunity to be there to do that, for people, for first responders, for people who clean up trash, absolutely.
Was it really just first responders, sanitation workers, and kids experiencing an NFL game? Well, we obtained records of everyone inside the skyboxes going back to 2022, and Mayor Scott is correct. To an extent, kids have been going to a few games, whether it's youth workers' kids, Brooklyn youth, or city school students. And city employees have been guests, too, including some DPW workers, as well as employees of the year. But politicians, family, friends, and donors are also frequent flyers in the skybox with Mayor Scott. Former City Council President Nick Mosby attended at least 17 of the 44 games since 2022. Before Westmore was governor in 2022, he attended four games as well. Former Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake received several suite passes to pop into the box over the years. And the mayor's longtime friend and former chief of staff turned special advisor Marvin James attended at least 22 games over the years. That's the same person who got a $3,600 farewell party when he announced his departure from City Hall, but never actually left. Instead, James stayed on the city's payroll as an advisor, making $190,000 a year. But it's not just elected leaders and close allies who have been guests of the mayor on the taxpayer's dime. From developers like David Bramble of MCB Real Estate to community organization and city agency leaders, Mayor Scott's donors have also been treated to a view from the box.
And when you look at the list, you see donors. That sends a shiver down taxpayers' spines because they know what's happened, is that the mayor is courting a favor with donors, with other elected officials, and this is not what people voted for.
Taxpayer watchdog David Williams says this type of spending should not be happening at all.
All right. So, a couple different reasons why I wanted to talk about this. Number one, I wanted to get your feedback. Don't forget the question of the day at WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Should the mayor and governor be able to treat family and friends to sporting events with taxpayer money? And you can put donors on that list as well, okay? I want to know, do you think that's acceptable? Now, again, it's been going on for years. It's been going on for decades. But at this point, do you think that's acceptable? Because don't forget, it just kind of goes with we'll talk about next, Baltimore City's proposed budget for 2027 is $4.9 billion. Okay? Now, this is as the population is on a decline. And, of course, you have Mayor Brandon Scott wanting to add even more staff to his office. Now, another one of these reasons is if you want to weigh in, you can. 410-WCBM680, 410-922-6680. Another one of these reasons is kind of going back to also that conversation about adding staff to Mayor Scott's office. Because we talked about the fact that he is suggesting private contributions is going to go into paying some of the salaries of these extra staffers. Now, when he was asked what these extra staffers would possibly do, because as far as we know, every position is already filled, right? I mean, if it's not filled, there's still, you know, room in the budget for it to be, for that position to be filled. You wouldn't have to have a private donor. That's just kind of how it works. And I know you guys know that. But what would those staffers be doing, right? And how many of those private contributors, how many of them have been donors that have taken advantage of the perks of Mayor Scott, right? Whether it's, you know, the Orioles games or the Ravens games or any other event. As Mackenzie Frost was pointing out there, you know, the staffer that was having the going away party, but then he didn't actually go away. He became a consultant, still making six figures. What kind of consulting does he do? And, you know, is he included on the list of contributors that would have another foot in that office there that's going to hire more staffers? See, this is where it gets very convoluted. And this is why I think that Isabel Cumming, the inspector general, has been raising the flag the way that she has. Because, you see, this is all just, it, you know, we've heard about the good old boys club. Like I said, it's not just Mayor Scott. It's not just, you know, Democrats. We see it on the other side of the aisle as well. But this has gotten to be very much so out of control. And you have to wonder what is going on here. And again, it's all taxpayer dimes. So I don't know. You know, I want to get your feedback on it because I do want to know what you think about it. When I'm looking at this, you know, just not with the fact that I know that Mayor Scott spends money like it's his own, but just kind of looking at the outside from the outside in and thinking about the fact that there are many people now that it seems to me that have really a hold on Mayor Scott. And you wonder, you know, what kind of hold do they have and how much are they contributing to the big picture of the city? You had Mackenzie Frost in that report bring up David Bramble. Now, he's supposed to be revitalizing the Inner Harbor. We've had this conversation plenty of times. Many of us have said how many times that no one's going to buy a million-dollar condo at the Inner Harbor, especially since they can't get the crime under control, they can't get the violence under control, they can't get the juveniles under control, they can't get the dirt bike riders under control. Who's going to buy a million-dollar condo at the Inner Harbor? People are not even buying them over Harbor East. You see? So it's just like, wait a minute, what's happening here? You know, is it more David Bramble that's really, you know, calling a lot of the shots here on the bigger picture? Because he's the one that's going to be making all this money, revitalizing the harbor? Now, a lot of his money is also coming from the state level. Okay? So he's getting, what was it? I think it was $60 million or so out of the state level just to start on this revitalization. Look, it just doesn't make sense. There's a lot of shady business. There sounds to me like there's conflicts of interest. And the more we see the pushback against Isabel Cummings, because we saw this too. Remember we were talking about Senator Bill Ferguson, the president of the Senate there in Annapolis. He wrote a huge message on X, on his social media, in regards to Isabel Cummings just sharing a video on her social media. So it's like, wait a minute. So why are you jumping in this conversation? Here you are. You are also a representative from Baltimore City. What do you know about what's going on behind the scenes? Senate Bill Ferguson. You see how this is? And so we already know with this guy, he's in Annapolis pushing for solar panels while sitting on the board of a solar panel company. I hope Isabel Cumming is able to do her job. because I have a sneaky suspicion that there's a lot more here than I originally thought. I'm going to go to the phone lines. I've got Dennis in Sykesville. Hey, Dennis, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I love your show, and I love your informative reporting. It's I think everybody in the state should be listening to you.
Well, thank you.
But I just wanted to say, you know, the next time these politicians in the city government, state government, bring up the topic of reparations, all they have to do is, you know, get a job with the state or city government, and they have an unlimited purse. They can spend, you know, whatever they want and have all the perks of life, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a great point there, Dennis. A really good point. Well, let me ask you this, Dennis. When it comes to David Bramble, this, you know, developer who's got this contract now with the city, and then we find out he's on the list of one of the individuals attending a lot of these Ravens games and Orioles games in the mayor's box. I mean, it sounds to me that he has a lot of influence over Mayor Scott, no?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's the, isn't he the sole contractor for the Harbor Place rebuild?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. He's supposed to take it out of receivership. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's very, very concerning. Very concerning. Dennis, thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
You do the same. Bye.
Thank you. Yeah. No, that's a great point with the reparations. Yeah. Just work for city government. Or, you know what, that's kind of how I look at sometimes at some of these government-assisted programs, too. And it really is sad because, you know, the last thing you want is more government in your life. But some people are just fine with it. Not I. Not I. There used to be this book my mom would read all the time. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the dog. Not me. I don't want more government in my life. Anyways, I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was interesting. And the David Bramble part really is concerning for me. It's like, okay, so you're with the mayor all the time. As of right now, they haven't started any construction on this revitalization. I still, you know, we saw the blueprint. We saw one of the renderings. Now, was that the final draft? I don't know. But this has got a slow build, as slow as the Francis Scott Key Bridge at this point. And from my understanding, he's already received a big check. And you know what? When Councilman Eric Costello was in office, remember, he was fighting for David Bramble as well. And then, of course, something, you know, I don't know what occurred during, you know, the relationships there where there was a split. But Eric Costello lost his seat. But, you know, Mayor Brandon Scott, I think, then he endorsed his opponent. They were very upset with Costello pointing out the crime and violence. But, of course, he was right. He was absolutely correct in doing so, but they didn't want that, right? They don't want anybody to scrutinize or criticize what they're doing. Anyways, if you want to weigh in on it, you can. We get back. I do want to just make a comparison here. We saw the proposed budget with Baltimore City. The proposed budget for 2027 from Carroll County is also out. Let's just do a little compare and contrast, shall we?
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The truth is simple. Iran needs the deal more than the president does. They're blinded by their indoctrinated radicalism. Nazis indoctrinated with a hatred for the Jews and anybody that was not like them. And the same with any other ism. Any of the 100 million people slaughtered in the last century, you know, dying under whatever ism, is because of maniacal, insane, brainwashed, stubborn, power-hungry, egotistical madmen. And that's why you neutralize the threat before, potentially, millions would die.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today. Right here.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You know, paying 70, 80, 90 bucks a month to big wireless companies, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, for unlimited data, that is insanity, especially when Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my wireless company, they will give you unlimited high-speed data for just $34.99 a month. That's unlimited high-speed data at Pure Talk. Used to start at $55 a month, but because Pure Talk, they're constantly pushing to give you more for less. Right now, unlimited high-speed data, $34.99 a month. Remember, they use the same cell towers as all these overpriced big carriers. You get the exact same service. Now, their U.S. customer service team is standing by to help you make the switch. It's simple, it's fast, it's easy. You dial pound 250 on your cell, you say the keyword save now, and claim unlimited high-speed data for just $34.99, pound 250, keyword save now, make the switch to my wireless company, America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Over the next few minutes, we're going to turn our eyes to the market and how to control the uncontrollable. Brian Herbert is a financial and tax planner and a five-star wealth management award winner with ProStatus Financial right here in Maryland. Ryan, I think we're all hyper aware of the fact that the markets have been volatile as of late. What I think most of us are wondering is, what can we do about it?
It's the consistency. It's having the plan for your income and retirement. Any income that you're having coming in from your portfolio should not be dependent on the stock market getting you a 5% rate of return or a 4% or 10% or whatever it happens to be. You want that to be unaffected by the market so that when we have times like these where we have so much volatility, you're not stressed about, do I have enough? Am I still going to be able to retire when I want? You want to have this consistent plan. If that's the kind of feeling that you want to have, if that's the kind of messaging and plan that you want from your financial advisor, I encourage you to sit down with Mike, myself, Catherine, Faisal, Sam, Andrew, a member of our team at ProStatus Financial, and we will put together your very own retirement plan that accounts for these crazy swings in the market, that accounts for that income that you need to have in retirement. But it all starts by giving us a call at 866-597-1040, 866-597-1040.
If you're 55 or older, have saved $500,000, and are serious about your retirement, congratulations. We're going to personally create a complete retirement plan for you. This includes a 401k X-ray and a portfolio protection plan. We'll also run an income analyzer so you can see how much income you can start to generate from your savings and make sure your retirement is protected and geared for growth. Call 866-597-1040. That's 866-597-1040, or go to ProStatusFinancial.com and schedule your free 15-minute phone conversation today. That's ProStatusFinancial.com.
Advisory services offered through ProStatus Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, I got a great text message here from John. He says, don't forget about the money he's getting from the prescription drug settlement. You're right about that, John. Total award received, total awarded was $579.9 million here in Baltimore City. Total received, if you take out legal fees and everything else, $392.5 million he'll get from that settlement, Mayor Scott. Now, again, that wasn't mentioned as far as paying the salaries of the staffers he wants to add to the budget, right? He's adding that into the budget. He's not saying, oh, well, we'll take some of the settlement money and we'll push it. No, he's not saying that. Not at all. All right, real quick. Baltimore City proposed a $4.9 billion budget. 585,000 people, right? $4.9 billion with a B. Carroll County proposed $645 million for 177,000 people. I'm not the best at math, but I will say that's a heck of a lot more money. A heck of a lot more money. And Carroll County, I believe, is run much more efficiently than Baltimore City. And when it comes to staff, you don't see top-heavy staff either in Carroll County. So, again, I think a lot of what's going on in Baltimore City is incompetency and a fact that we have leaders that really don't know which way to go. And, you know, they're really not even talking about tourism bucks anymore either. You know, former Mayor Donald Schaefer, he talked a lot about tourism. That's why Florida does so well. The Governor Ron DeSantis talks about it often. You've got the Ravens, you've got the Orioles, you've got the National Aquarium, you've got the Maryland Zoo. You would think you would do something with all those great things. All right, coming up next, Delegate Mike Griffith. We're going to get his session wrap-up. He'll be here in studio, so you can call in if you want to ask any questions. And also, I want to talk about Kanaya's Law. That was a big one that passed this session. Stay right there.
Do you need a new roof? Call Badger at 443-NEW-ROOF. At Badger Contracting, we inspect your roof, give you a free estimate, and work to improve and protect your home. We are a trusted local company that's worked on thousands of roofs, large and small. Call now, get a free estimate, 20% off your new roof, and a free gutter system. Call me, Barry Flax, at 443-NEW-ROOF. For immediate response, call 443-NEW-ROOF. Badger Contracting. Our job is your satisfaction.
Looking for the perfect shooting experience? Come to Free State Gun Range, the friendliest gun range in town. Don't forget to ask about our brand new gold and silver memberships. Enjoy unlimited range time, advanced lane reservations, and exclusive discounts on firearms, accessories, and training. Visit us right now and take advantage of our extensive inventory of firearms and accessories. Visit freestategunrange.com or stop by today. Free State Gun Range. Shop, shoot, improve. This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. It's been 55 days since President Trump ordered the attack on Iran, and Secretary Abor Hegseth says although the opening phase of the conflict is wrapped up, the war is not over.
That mission continues today in this new phase as Iran has an important choice, a chance to make a deal, a good deal, a wise deal.
Hegseth says a blockade of Iranian ports has been highly effective with 34 ships turned around in the Strait of Hormuz so far. Joint Chiefs Chairman General Dan Kane says joint force remains postured and prepared to recommence major combat operations on orders from President Trump. Mr. Trump says Israel and Lebanon have agreed to extend a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah by 3 weeks, this after talks at the White House, and was worried this morning that the Iranian foreign minister will be traveling to Pakistan, Oman, and Russia. An American soldier is accused of taking a gamble that could cost him much more than he won.
Federal prosecutors allege a U.S. Special Forces soldier involved in the planning and execution of the military operation to capture Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro used that knowledge to win more than $400,000 in an online betting market. The indictment says the soldier was promoted to the rank of Master Sergeant in 2023, the second highest enlisted rank in the Army. He's been charged with unlawful use of confidential government information for personal gain, theft of non-public government information, commodities fraud, wire fraud, and making an unlawful monetary transaction. He could face years in prison. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Powerful storms have again pounded the plains, destructive tornadoes, damaging hail across parts of Oklahoma and Kansas. On Wall Street this morning, stocks are mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 148 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you don't care about saving 50% off your wireless bill for the same 5G coverage the big guys are charging a fortune for, maybe you care about keeping jobs in America. PureTalk does. They've pledged to run their entire operation from this country, including all their customer service. Or maybe you care about our nation's veterans. PureTalk does. They've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to America's Warrior Partnership, a fantastic organization working hard to prevent veteran suicide. Or maybe you care about closing America's skills gap. PureTalk does. They're a proud supporter of MicroWorks. They're helping my foundation train the next generation of skilled workers. Don't get me wrong. Saving money's great, and you'll save plenty with PureTalk. But if you want to be in business with people who share your values, dial pound 250, say micro, and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. A Baltimore police officer is being held without bond following his arrest for allegedly pulling a shotgun on a woman at his home. 33-year-old Officer Emmanuel Alston was taken into custody Tuesday and charged with first and second degree assault. According to the Baltimore Banner, police spokesperson Lindsay Eldridge says the department is aware of Alston's arrest and he is suspended without pay. And more than 40 residents of a Windsor Mill apartment building have been displaced following a fire on Thursday afternoon. Baltimore County firefighters were called to the Diamond Ridge Luxury Apartments on Brixworth Court at around 12:30 p.m. and found heavy fire showing from the roof of the building. Crews were able to extinguish the fire by around 2:30 p.m. and there were no injuries to residents or firefighters. The Red Cross is assisting the 24 families affected by the blaze. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Spring is here, and it's time to get moving, exploring, and enjoying whatever activity awaits you this season. But if stiff, achy joints are holding you back, listen up. Glyco Plus is your ultimate joint health companion. It's an advanced blend formulated specifically by Rescue Natural Supplements to help keep your joints flexible and moving comfortably. And right now, listeners can buy one, get one free with the code RELIEF. Powered by patented collagen and a research-backed green-lipped muscle complex, Glyco Plus supports healthy cartilage and actually helps to cushion joints for smoother movement and reduce stiffness, promoting better overall mobility you'll notice over time. Just go to res-q.com, use the code RELIEF to buy one bottle of Glyco Plus, get one free, or call a product consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-262-5483. Start embracing an active life with comfort today. Shop Glyco Plus at res-q.com with the code RELIEF and do it today.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
The pick was in last night for Baltimore, and Penn State guard Venga Ioane is a Baltimore Raven.
Had the chance to watch him play a couple of years at both left and right guard. Physical, tough, very athletic for his size. Excellent in pass protection, a great fit for our offense and what we're trying to accomplish.
Ravens GM Eric DaCosta describing the 6'4", 325-pound guard, the first lineman selected by the Ravens in the first round since Tyler Linderbaum in 2022. Head coach Jesse Minter says Ioane was the perfect choice.
The guy that we got as a first pick is the epitome of what we want the team to be like. You know, a line of scrimmage, dominant team. So really physical, really great player, and he's everything that we want our guys to be.
Ioane didn't allow a sack in his 2 years as a starter at Penn State and didn't draw a single penalty flag either.
For me, when I get there, I'm bringing, you know, my pass protection. You know, that's something I work on every day. On the pass game, I'm coming in with, you know, the mentality that I'm not trying to get beat. Nobody's going to touch my quarterback, and as simple as that.
Lamar was sacked 36 times last season, and much of that pressure came from up the middle. Coming up in 30 minutes, what NFL analysts are saying about Venga Ioane, the newest Baltimore Raven. And that this time on sports.
Are you stressed because of your IRS back tax bill, the possibility of wage garnishment or property lien? Then call Priority Tax Relief now, 800-314-0045. At Priority Tax, we work directly with the IRS to protect you and your assets. Thousands of our customers have resolved for far less than their original balance. Connect to the IRS for free in minutes, 800-314-0045.
WCBM News Time, 10:06. A quick update on traffic. There is a crash closing U.S. 50 at Maryland 404 in both directions. The only lanes getting by are the right turn lane from each direction to 404. In addition to both directions of U.S. 50 at Maryland 404 being closed, eastbound Maryland 404 is also closed. This is a tractor trailer and an overturned dump truck that lost a load of hot asphalt, and there is significant diesel fuel spill. We are being advised that this will be a 5-hour closure. Right now, let's go to a look at the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast, partly cloudy and mild again today with temperatures in the mid-70s. We are tracking a few showers late tonight as our next weather maker starts to push in with lows in the low 50s. And then we've got showers on Saturday with highs in the low 60s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
68 degrees in Boley's Quarter, 69 in Pikesville, and 69 in Joppa Town. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Friday, and it's a beautiful Friday. Hopefully everybody can get out there and touch some grass. That'd be nice. That'd be great. I think sometimes we forget to do that. We need that. There's a lot going on in politics, but you know what? It is the weekend, and we're going to have a great conversation here with our in-studio guest, because our in-studio guest has some wins in the General Assembly in Annapolis, and you don't usually see that on the right side of the aisle. So first and foremost, good morning, Delegate Mike Griffith. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
No, of course. And you know, this is interesting because you did. You had some great wins. And I think you changed a lot of hearts and minds this session. And I'm going to get into that. But first and foremost, just so everybody knows exactly where your district is and who you represent.
Sure. So it's District 35A, and most people don't know district numbers. That's Northern Harford County and Western Cecil County.
Okay, so you do have some of Cecil there. Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. And so, you know, there's a lot going on in Harford County. You don't usually hear a whole lot in Cecil County, but you guys, some every now and again, they pop up in the news.
There's a lot going on in Cecil County right now. I mean, okay. We had a pretty contentious election a couple years ago. You have elections there this cycle. So, I mean, Cecil has a lot of activity and a lot of political activity right now. So it doesn't bleed into the Baltimore area news a bunch, but there's a lot going on up there. So
yeah, well, I did notice Harford County. I think you guys did well public school wise these past couple years, and so did Cecil.
Yes.
Yeah. So you guys are doing great with the education piece. I wish you would tell the rest of the state your secret.
Well, so one of the things that we did actually, so back in 2022, before my legislation, we have 9 members on the Board of Ed. 3 of those were appointed by the governor. We kind of knew where the winds were blowing with the next state election back in 22. So I introduced legislation that ultimately passed HB 603 of 2022 that ultimately became a delegation bill that took the appointing power away from the governor and gave it to the county executive. Nice. And right now it's a 5-4 Republican to Democrat majority on the Board of Ed. That would not have been possible but for that legislation passing. And then that has led to, you know, being able to provide more conservative values and protections for our schools in Harford County.
Nice. Yeah, no, and it really has worked out. Because like I said, like you said, even, you know, Cecil County, you don't hear a whole lot about what's going there. But I did notice with your school, the testing, the scores, you guys are doing a fantastic job. And you're keeping it pretty low on the budget side, too. So you're doing a lot with a lot less as well.
And there's a lot of challenges, obviously, because, you know, we have a $3.5 billion shortfall next year we're facing. We've faced multiple shortfalls, and the projections even further out are worse. And the nonpartisan Department of Legislative Services in Annapolis has stated the biggest driver is the blueprint. And not only is it the biggest driver at the state level, but they force so many of those mandates onto the counties to shift those costs. And so it's a real challenge right now for counties to absorb all the unfunded mandates the state is requiring of them.
Yeah, no, it's a disaster. I mean, we've talked about that as well. And Delegate, you're so right. Again, we're speaking to Delegate Mike Griffith here in studio. Don't forget, you can call in anytime as well. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. This is the first time I've had you, I think, here on the show in studio, and so I appreciate you coming in. Of course, there was a lot going on in Annapolis this session. There, I think there always is, unfortunately. It's like 90 days of craziness. Like, I don't know how you guys do it.
Well, it's 90 days. You know, we had 2,600 bills this year, which is, you know, how many problems are there?
Yeah.
You know, that we need 2,600 bills every year to consider.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's start with that because, of course, one of the big ones, so the Utility Relief Act. We've got so many phone calls here, Delegate, about the utility bill, especially our energy bills. And we find out that we're going to spend saving, what is it,
approximately $12.50 a month.
And I can tell you that everybody's bill has jumped hundreds upon hundreds of dollars. So we're looking at the $12.50 a month and thinking, how did they come up with that? Your opinion on it.
So, you know, to quote Shakespeare, sound and fury signify nothing. You know, the General Assembly has made a lot of moves that has driven up our energy costs over the last couple of decades, right? And they will argue, well, we didn't shut down any coal-fired plants. That's true. But they've passed a lot of policies that have made these coal-fired plants and a lot of these energy companies unsustainable in the state of Maryland, so they've left. So much so that Brandon Shores, which was about to shut down, they realized PJM told the state, well, if they shut down, Baltimore City loses power, right? So now the state is paying a company called Talon, who runs Brandon Shores, $15 million a month just to stay online. And that doesn't include all the utility fees and all that. And take another step. So for every 4 gigawatts of power we have offline in the state of Maryland, we've only put 1 gigawatt back on, right? That's a huge disparity, which has eliminated most of our own production. So now we have to go buy it from Pennsylvania, in some cases at an 800% markup, right? And then that's what we have to offset, you know, all the production that we've taken offline. Furthermore, 30% of our utility bills, approximately 30%, are taxes and fees that Maryland imposes, right? So all we did really in 90 days on a session that was focused on affordability is reduce really the Empower charges by $12.50 a month for each person. And that sunsets in 3 years. So those fees go right back in 3 years when we could have done so much more. We didn't have to make a single policy decision. If we simply cut the taxes and fees we put on energy bills, we could have wiped out a third of people's energy costs right there.
I think that Democrats in Annapolis have successfully made this conversation so confusing. And I think that's what they're hoping, honestly. I mean, even with the way you just explained, you know, just how some of this works behind the scenes, I don't think, you know, the average person understands that.
Well, so listen, there are legitimate concerns with BGE and PJM and so on and so forth. But let's not get it twisted. The creator of this mess was the Maryland General Assembly. And they're more than happy to allow BGE to take all the heat for the decisions, the policy decisions of the General Assembly over the last 20-plus years. So they're a good scapegoat. It's nice to point over here. Don't look what I'm doing. Look what's happened over here. But make no mistake about it, this crisis has largely been due to policy decisions at the General Assembly.
Yeah, and it's so unfortunate as well. We're speaking to Doug and Mike Griffith again here in studio. It's unfortunate, too, because, you know, you just mentioned how we're getting energy from Pennsylvania. Look, I don't blame Governor Josh Shapiro and what they're doing there at all. I mean, it seems to me that they're really sitting on, you know, a stockpile compared to other surrounding states. I wanted to ask you, was there any conversations this session about nuclear energy?
I mean, lots of conversations. And what's interesting is a few years ago, you know, the environmental folks were completely opposed to nuclear energy. But there's no path to carbon neutral energy without nuclear, because wind is, I don't think, there's a lot of issues that come with wind, and it's not ready for prime time. There are a lot of issues with solar, and it's not ready for prime time. One of the issues I think we have with the clean energy conversation is we want clean energy. We want to protect our environment 100%. But a lot of these solutions are not where they need to be, right? They're not sustainable. And instead of pouring billions of dollars into putting up half-baked solutions, let's invest in research and development to make sure we get good solutions that don't have these, you know, other harms that they're creating, right? The fact that we're having to force and subsidize wind and solar shows it's not sustainable with taxpayer dollars. But with Pennsylvania, they're even starting to lose taste of sharing their energy, which is starting to become a concern right now. So, and one more thing I do want to bring up. Another big policy decision that's driven up our energy costs is the Climate Solutions Now Act we passed a few years ago that has forced mass electrification of our grid, which now has put a lot more energy from fossil fuels on the grid, which has also driven up our energy costs. So it's, again, just a series of policy decisions that's put us in this bad position.
No, and it really is unfortunate. And it sounds so complicated at times. It's like, how do we get out of it? You know, like, because it sounds like there's many different steps and obstacles at this point. As you mentioned, the Empower program there, you know, I spoke to a Democrat in Annapolis about that. And he said, well, we had to do it because there were so many people on the lower class scale that was getting taken advantage of. And we need to help them out. But I don't think they're the ones really benefiting from Empower. And so from my understanding, it's more businesses, which, of course, we want to help the businesses. But it's, from my understanding, it's not even getting to the intended target.
Well, I mean, the moral of the story is if we can find a way to drastically reduce our energy costs, that's going to help low-income folks, too. Right? And Robin, you know, Peter to pay Paul, when you know, even a program like Empower, when our energy costs are this drastically out of whack with the rest of the country, I mean, that rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. So that hurts low-income folks, too. It hurts the Empower program. It makes the Empower program less effective. And all these policy decisions have led to this mess. And there's no short-term way out of this. The only way we're going to get out of this is with our own energy production. And, you know, you hear touting offshore wind. Offshore wind's not going to supplement a fraction of what we've offline and what we need. It's going to take nuclear. It's going to take natural gas. It's going to take, in the short term, online in some of our fossil fuel production. I know some of the environmentalists won't like it. But, you know, if we really care about our low-income citizens here in the state of Maryland, we need to take drastic action to make sure they can afford to have heat and air conditioning and refrigeration and so forth.
All right. Well, we'll leave the Utility Relief Act there for now. Doug and Mike Griffith, we get back, I do want to talk about Kanaya's Law. Real quick, though, before we go to break, I just wanted to ask you, because, of course, you know, the bill's right out the gate there. You had the ban on 287G, and then in the last leg, it was the Community Trust Act. I wanted to get your initial reaction. You've got all these priorities there, and, of course, the first bill, the emergency legislation, the ban on 287G, how is that affecting your district, Harford and Cecil County?
Well, so it's interesting. So I offered multiple amendments. The Rachel Morin amendment with Rachel Morin to make sure to compel or to exempt murder and rape from the ban of 287G. That was obviously rejected upon party lines. But one of the concerns with prohibiting cooperation with ICE is when you have people transferred into ICE custody at the detention center, which is what the 287G program. It's a notification and transfer at the detention center. It's a very clean, safe transfer on a detainer if ICE, you know, decides to execute that detainer. But when they're released in the community without notification, now ICE needs to go in the community, and it can become confrontational, it can become violent, and it puts people in danger. But also, one of the concerns that you hear Democrats in Annapolis talk about is collateral deportations, not just, you know, turning over the violent criminal to ICE, but now kids and women and all the other folks getting caught up in that, right? You know, and when we debated the ICE bills on the floor, we're not talking about the little kid. You know, we're not talking about the little old lady. We're talking about the most violent criminals, murderers and rapists here in the state of Maryland. And what happened was once they signed the 287G ban, 10 days later, for the first time in 10 years, ICE reached out to the Harford County Sheriff's Office and told them they're now doing operations in communities in Harford County. And that's solely because of the 287G ban, because they can no longer issue detainers at the detention center.
Wow. So basically the exact opposite of what you see this, but they should have known this, because there were many people that came forward to give testimony.
I had an op-ed in the Baltimore Sun in February laying this out.
Yeah.
On the debate on the floor of the House of Delegates, I laid this out. On the 287G ban, on the Community Trust Act, I laid it out once again of what has already happened. So what's going to happen now is, instead of just having the violent criminals turn over to ICE at the detention center, now they're going to have to go in the community to get them, which puts everyone in danger. And ICE is going to, you know, very likely identify other individuals and have those collateral deportations, which is exactly what in Annapolis they say they don't want. But they've, you know, created that environment because of this legislation.
So they forced their hand. So hopefully we don't see another Renee Good or Alex Pretty from Minneapolis situation.
We don't want that, but well, they've made that more likely.
Wow, wow. Okay, we're speaking to Doug and Mike Griffith. When we get back, we are going to get into Kanaya's Law. That was a huge bill, gained a lot of attention, and rightfully so. When we get back, stay right there.
Maryland's current political leadership favors tampons in the boys' bathroom. Do you favor tampons in the boys' bathroom? Well, if you don't, maybe you ought to consider voting for me. Go to my website, BernieFlowers.com, and donate the cost of a cup of coffee. Help me change Maryland. I'm Bernie Flowers, and I'm running for Congress in Maryland's 3rd District. Go to my website and donate the cost of a cup of coffee. Help me change Maryland. I'm Bernie Flowers, and I approve this message.
Dr. Lairfield here. The year has changed. How about your smile? At the Smile Design Center, we can help. We have cosmetic veneers and professional whitening to give your smile a clean and attractive look everybody will notice. And when my patients tell me they love their new smile, it's one of the perks of my job. Call me at the Smile Design Center, 410-321-1100.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Massive tax increases, skyrocketing utility bills, criminal illegals roaming free in the state. It must stop now. Go to WCBM.com and sign our state petition. Send a message to our elected leaders that they need to listen to voters and stop the tyranny of one-party rule. Go to WCBM.com and send an SOS for a real change.
The Rob Carson Show.
Thank God it's...
By the grace of God, it is finally Friday. We'll find the latest from Iran, also the Virginia vote steal referendum, plus the unusual suspects, Tony Kennett, Mary Walter, and from Hollywood and Toto, Christian Toto, noon to 3 on WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Again, happy Friday. We got an in-studio guest, Delegate Mike Griffith. I don't want to waste any time. I got a question here from Daniel in the text line. He says, any chance of enabling Brandon Shores to operate at its full power potential? The twin 700-foot stacks are capped off in between, and it happened in between 2007 and 2010, and are currently inactive. Can we get Brandon Shores at his full potential, Delegate?
I mean, I think there are some policy decisions and some decisions the PSC can make to enable that. But that's going to be the will of the General Assembly, maybe some executive action by the governor, certainly the PSC. But, you know, the Republican position is that is one of the absolute necessary steps we need to take to immediately reduce our energy costs, because there's a lot of options out there. That nuclear, it's going to take 10 to 15 years. Natural gas could take 7 years. So, that's how long we're staring down the barrel of this crisis. So we're going to need to take actions exactly like that by, you know, fully getting Brandon Shores and, frankly, some of the Western Maryland plants that are still able to be revived, up and running for immediate relief. So, absolutely, I support that. But we don't know if the will's there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Daniel, great question. Of course, I would ask you about Kanaya's Law. When we got the word here, Delegate, that a beautiful 16-year-old was found dead in a Baltimore City hotel room, and then we found out she was under the care of the state, We were all heartbroken, horrified, but of course asking many questions. How on earth could that have possibly happened? First, I want to just ask you, you know, your initial reaction to the story when you heard about it, because there's a lot of, I'm sure, personal emotions you had there. But also, what Kanaya's Law does, and how did you come up with that bill?
It's pretty well documented. I was in the foster care system myself. And so, obviously, first, sadness and outrage, but not shocked. You know, when I was in the system, I was in the system from ages of 12 to 18, so to age myself, 89 to 95. You know, the system was completely broken then. And it was, you know, there were policy issues, but it was broken at the ground level. And some of the decisions making, people making decisions about my own situation is where I had the worst experiences. And then when I got into the General Assembly, I learned there were some of these issues too. But, you know, you first get in there, you're trying to figure out which way's up. And then the issues were so robust, you don't know where to start. Like, it's such a big problem. Like, where do you start trying to bite at the apple? So we had that audit come out in September, that really just scathing audit that really revealed a lot of the, you know, awful actions that was happening within the foster care system. And then just days later, Kanaya took her life. And Kanaya's story is her mom submitted her voluntarily to the foster care system because she had attempted to take her life multiple times. She was worried for her daughter's life and did not feel she had the ability to protect her. So she turned over to the foster system, hoping the state would be able to do that. And what did the foster care system do? Well, they put her in a hotel room with not even supervision, with a chaperone, right, that only checked on her a couple times a day for several weeks. And they left her in a room with a bottle of pills, 350 Benadryl pills that will take that bottle, you're going to die. They checked on her in the morning to get her up for school. You know, she didn't get up for school, nor did the chaperone make her get up. It wasn't for 5.5 hours later when they finally checked on her, not even making sure she got to school. That's how little supervision she had. They go in there, they found a whole note, the bottle empty, and her laying dead, right? And it was all because of lack of supervision and accountability, and we go on about the failures at every level. So we learn what happened, and then myself and my colleagues in the Republican caucus, we sit down together and we identify the areas we need to fix and the areas where we need to make sure there's an independent advocate within the DHS, making sure these kids get to what they need that is an adversarial to the Secretary of DHS. We got to make sure there's no more improper placements, no more hotels, no more hospitals. They're placing kids in homeless shelters. Right? No more homeless shelters, right? We got to make sure we find proper places to have these kids. And then finally, we need background checks. Multiple kids were put in guardianship homes with sex offenders, right? And some of those kids got molested as a result of this, right? So, you know, we got to mandate background checks moving forward. And these are all things that you never would conceive you needed to offer legislation for, but we needed to.
Yeah.
And so this bill addressed all three of those main issues that we identified through the audit and through the tragedy with Kanaya.
Well, Delegate Mike Griffith, we get back. We want to continue this conversation because you had a change of the head there with the Department of Human Services. And I want to get to some of his comments. Stay right here.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Tornadoes and destructive hail in the plains, devastating wildfires in the southeast with lives disrupted, homes and businesses destroyed. Two massive wildfires are forcing evacuations and have destroyed almost 90 homes in South Georgia. Twisters have slammed Enid, Oklahoma, including Vance Air Force Base. President Trump says he's not going to be rushed into ending the Iran war. If Iran does not agree to a war-ending deal, the president says the U.S. would finish it up militarily. The Mall of Louisiana in Baton Rouge, a scene of a deadly shooting, one person killed, five others wounded. Authorities say there is no ongoing threat to the general public. Stocks are mixed on Wall Street, with the Dow down about 200 points, while the NASDAQ is up 134 points. More details at srnnews.com.
This is Pastor David Lewis with today's Moment of Truth. I've often questioned the wisdom in sending our children off to America's colleges and universities. Many years ago, I heard someone say that the only place in the world where Marxism thrived was on American campuses. Many of them, Ivy League schools included, have become indoctrination centers for all things progressive. I'm all for continuing education, just not at most colleges. To prove my point, the irony of ironies is the spectacle of the LGBTQ crowd waving Iranian flags on college campuses across the land. These are the same people that Hamas hangs from cranes and throws off of rooftops. Hold on to your money, moms and dads. Give it to the Lord's work or buy an AR-15. Be sensible. Someone has to be the adult in the group. And pray to God for the peace of Jerusalem. This is Pastor David Lewis at the Cub Hill Bible Presbyterian Church.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
So apparently protecting Lamar was the number one priority for the Ravens last night, selecting perhaps the best guard in the draft, big 6'4", 325-pound Vavenga Ioane out of Penn State. It was a statement pick, one that Ravens GM Eric DaCosta described as the perfect pick.
I think this guy just really checked off every single box for us as a player. Mentality, personality, ability, skill level, athletic ability, physicality, all those different things at a very high level.
Ioane also highly thought of by, among others, NFL analyst Brian Baldinger.
He's been my favorite player since I started studying this draft. You know, last year, Tyler Booker went in the first round to Dallas, and Gray Zabel went in the first round to Seattle. And they both made a big difference. They were really good players. Ioane's better. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's meaner. He looks like the greatest joy he gets in life is taking his opponent and planting him into the turf. He's really good at it.
Ironically, Ioane's parents were against him playing football in the first place, wanting their second youngest of nine children to concentrate on his studies in his native Samoa.
10th grade came around, wanted to play football real bad, so I signed myself up, got it going, and, you know, hit it from there for a little while, but it didn't last long, you know, wondering where I'm at, so called him. I was like, playing the game right now, so they started showing up.
Press conference this afternoon at 5:30 in Owings Mills to introduce Vavenga Ioane as the newest Baltimore Raven. O's news not so good. Team placing tonight's scheduled starter, pitcher Dean Kramer, on the IL. 15 days with a strained quad, not eligible to return until May 5th. Brandon Young's been recalled. He made a spot start earlier this year in Chicago, pitching five innings of shutout ball. They'll pitch tonight against the Red Sox at 7:05. Coming up in 30 minutes, more on the Ravens' first-round draft choice, Vavenga Ioane. And that is Stunt on Sports.
Trying to make sense of the markets? Looking to diversify out of all the craziness? Thinking about tangible assets like precious metals? Listen to The Gold Show with Alan Johnson right here on WCBM 3 p.m. Sunday afternoons. Stay up to date on retirement trends, how the IRA rollover process works, and why investors are turning to physical gold. Alan is a national talk show host with decades of experience in the markets. Tune in for Alan's insights and The Gold Show this Sunday at 3 p.m. on WCBM.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got a mix of sun and clouds today with highs in the mild mid-70s. A few showers are possible by tonight as temperatures fall back into the low 50s. And then our next weather maker moves in this weekend. We are tracking steady rain at times on Saturday, along with much cooler temperatures and highs in the low 60s. Rain showers should get out of here by very early on Sunday, but after that, cloudy and cooler still with highs in the low 60s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hair volume from New Nordic will make your hair look thick and healthy. Hair volume is available online at Amazon and NewNordicUSA.com or in the hair care aisle at your local CVS.
From Columbia to Germantown, from Fort Meade to ABG, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680.
We're speaking to Delegate Mike Griffith on this beautiful Friday. And, of course, we were talking about Kanaya's Law before the break, and I don't want to waste any time, all right? I don't want to. You know, Delegate, I was wondering, and I kind of asked you this during the break, but I was, wondering, you know, with this law that has now been passed, well, first and foremost, when does it go into effect?
I believe July 1st.
July 1st,
yeah,
okay.
And the governor is actually supposed to be signing it on Tuesday.
Oh, well, congratulations on that, too. Well, so, you know, of course, this is going to affect the entire system. But, you know, I didn't realize, and you kind of brought this up, and we were talking about Kanaya Ward and everything that she went through. I didn't realize that this was happening on a weekday when she was checked on. I assumed it was on the weekend because I didn't hear anybody mention school. And when I heard the story that the person came back hours later to check on her, You're telling me for the first time, I mean, people might know this, but for me, for the first time, you know, I'm hearing that they didn't really care, I guess, that she even went to school that day.
And I want to give credit. Mackenzie Frost is the one who did the investigative reporting to unpack all that.
Okay.
But that's exactly what happened.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Wow. So hopefully, you know, the foster care system will understand as well. School is important. And it sounds like that wasn't the first priority, but hopefully that was the only time that happened, right?
I mean, you can't begin to assume it was the only time it happened. I mean,
yeah.
It was this third-party provider, you know, who hired chaperones to cover an entire floor of kids. You know, I think there was 18 kids in that hotel at the time. Just the absolute indifference that led to this is horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. And before the break, we were talking about the former head, Rafael Lopez, mm-hmm. I believe is his name. You know, when all this took place, you guys did have a hearing where he came in. He was talking about the failures, I guess, with the system. And from your understanding, because, of course, you were there, but it sounds like he didn't really answer any questions in regards to Kanaya's death.
So I wasn't in the hearing. I watched it online. One of our members, Delegate Steve Barnes.
Oh, right, because it was in the Senate, correct?
It was a joint hearing. All the audits, they have to go and testify on the audit reviews, right?
Yeah.
And so it was joint House and Senate. Delegate Steve Barnes was a member of our caucus on that hearing committee. And an hour and a half in, former Secretary Lopez did not mention at all the tragedy of Kanaya, when I think it should have been the very first thing he mentioned. After 90 minutes, Delegate Steve Arts, you know, finally questioned him. It got to him. He questioned him and pressed him. And then Lopez just gives an apology. And it was, I thought it was pretty poor form when the biggest tragedy you're dealing with should have been the very first thing you address. And you take ownership and accountability and talk about how you're going to change. He dodged it entirely. And it was right after that that myself, Delegate Steve Arntz, Delegate Jason Buckle, and Jesse Pippi signed a letter calling for his resignation because there was no ownership and accountability by him during that hearing.
Yeah, and then I remember he was supposed to go and answer questions in another hearing.
Yeah, so once the session started, right. He was supposed to appear for the Judiciary Committee. He did not show up for that.
Right,
both
that.
Republicans and Democrats were very upset he no-showed that. And just a few days later, he announced his resignation.
Yeah, and then he was front row at the State of the State address given by Governor Wes Moore.
Which was before the hearing he didn't appear for.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So it was before that he was supposed to pay her for the hearing, didn't do that, and then he resigned.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So saves the address, then the hearing he did not show for, and then resigned after that.
Okay. All right. So interesting. So I guess with the new now acting, or did he didn't appoint someone else yet to that position, did he?
I believe there's an acting secretary right now.
An acting secretary. Okay. So hopefully once this law takes effect, hopefully you guys will be able to talk more to the acting, I guess, secretary, or if he's going to appoint somebody, about how, you know, they plan to implement it. I just wanted to note, because of course you told your story there, Delegate. My father was in the foster care system, believe it or not.
I know that.
Yeah. And so he was adopted by a man, a veteran. He was in the military, and he said that guy saved his life. Had he not been adopted by him, his life would have been totally different. He went from the foster care system, having absolutely nothing, to being executive at IBM. So there is a way for this to be successful. And so I'm glad that you took that on and really told your story at the same time. I have to ask, did your colleagues hear that story for the first time as well when you were talking about Kanaya's Law?
Some did, some didn't. There were a number of people that knew I was in the foster care system. There's another delegate who's running for Senate, C.T. Wilson. He was a foster kid. Me and him have really bonded. He's also a veteran, also members of the Veteran Caucus together. We really bonded over this issue, and he's become a dear friend of mine. There are people that know it, but certainly the public didn't really know because, you know, don't really talk about this stuff. But it's interesting how it has changed some people's perception and given me a voice in these issues. And who knew, like, one of the worst things that ever happened to me has allowed me to try to do some good work in Annapolis.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think it's amazing. I really do. And you should be very proud of yourself and proud that you were able to get this done. You might not know the answer to this. Real quick on Kanaya Ward and her mother. I know that there is a lawsuit currently. Do you have any information there? I know her lawyer has done some interviews. But do you know which way that's headed or if she's going to have a case there?
No information.
No information on that one.
Her
okay.
mom testified at the bill hearing in the House.
Yeah.
You know, I would anticipate the Ward family being there at the bill signing next week. But I don't have any information on that. I can't speak to that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, personally, I just hope that there is some action and accountability. You know, the way that I look at this situation, I felt like she did all the right things.
Well, absolutely. And listen, I call balls and strikes, and I give credit where credit is due. When we announced our intentions to pass Kanaya's Law, DHS, the rank and file members, DHS came to us wanting to try to help us craft the law. When we got to session in the Speaker's office, you know, the Governor's Legislative Office, everybody came together and tried to help craft this law to make sure it was doable. So I will say a lot of people came together, and even so much that the Speaker took a piece of my bill and put it on her bill. The unlicensed settings, because last year she wasn't speaker then. Me and the speaker introduced legislation to create a study on some of these unlicensed settings. The study came back. I had my bill. She moved that over to her bill, made me the number two in her bill, and in really an unprecedented fashion, had me introduce her bill with her in the Senate, which I don't think a Republican's ever introduced a Democrat speaker's of the House bill with them. Yeah. But that's a lot of people really rallied around this issue, and it was really something to see.
Yeah, and then this is going to affect a lot of people. There's a lot of kids in the system. And I just want to point out, I'm not going to say any names, delegate, I'm not going to get you any drama, but I will say there was one delegate that didn't want to show up for work because he felt like Republicans were ineffective. And I point to things like this legislation, and I will just say that, you know, I think you guys are effective. And I think, honestly, with the amendments and the bills that we see that come out of Annapolis and the fact that you make a lot of bad bills a lot less bad, I think that you guys are fighting really hard for us. So I just want to make sure you guys know that we do appreciate the work that you're doing.
No, I appreciate it. And there are a lot of people out there, naysayers, saying Republicans don't get anything done in Annapolis. And that's not true. One individual... you know, he's welcome to his opinion, and I wish him well, and, you know, I don't think he's a bad person at all, but, you know, he was wrong. Listen, on some major issues, we have a math problem. In the House, we're outnumbered 102 to 39. We're not going to overcome that, right? But we have a voice, especially those of us who don't attack people. We don't attack their motives. We focus on the issues, right? And if you focus on the issues and you make good arguments and you don't lose your voice by being a bomb thrower down there, then you can get amendments on bills. You can pass bills. You can kill bills. You know, we affect so much legislation down there that people don't know about. And we make real differences down there that wouldn't happen without us. Because we have our communities. We speak for our communities. We make the case for our communities. Again, the big bills, the big political bills, we have a math problem. But policy beyond that top line, that top 5% of big political bills that they're going to push through no matter what. Everything beyond that, we make a real difference on.
Yeah. Again, we're speaking to Delegate Mike Griffith. We have him for just a couple more minutes here. Delegate, I did want to ask you, because, of course, we see the uptick in crime and violence, especially with juveniles. In Harford and Cecil County, are you guys having the same issues that we're having in Baltimore County and Baltimore City?
It's happening everywhere.
Okay.
And we passed the Juvenile Justice Reform Act. There's another bill, the Juvenile Interrogation Bill, that I was actually the floor leader in opposition to. So I don't know if you know, I was a military policeman in the Marine Corps. So I'm one of the few people in the General Assembly that's arrested people and apprehended juveniles and did this work and interrogated juveniles. So this bill prevents interrogation of anybody under the age of, I believe it's 14, without being able to, you cannot even ask any questions of a juvenile without getting their attorney involved. Their attorney will always say, don't say anything. Right, there's a reason why in that Joppatown High School murder, the gun has still not been recovered because they weren't able to question the juvenile what he did with the gun. Right, and now that gun's still at large in the community, maybe in another kid's hands, maybe waiting to kill somebody else. So the fact that you can't even interrogate juveniles, and then on top of that, we've added more legislation this year where kids are being used as drug mules because you can't search them, you can't interrogate them under a certain age. So if I'm a drug dealer, and we've decriminalized some of the juvenile crime as well, and now we can't charge juveniles as adults for certain crimes, we have enabled juveniles to commit crimes without consequences. We've had all the issues with DHS that cost Schiraldi his job. But some of those policies are still being implemented. So we're seeing an uptick absolutely everywhere. And it's going to create more harm and exponential harm.
Okay. Because, I mean, we see it down here a lot in Baltimore County and Baltimore City. But I was wondering if you were seeing it up there.
Yeah.
I will say that there has been, in my view, an uptick in the juvenile crime in general. And I did wonder whether or not this was influenced by individuals that are using the juveniles, knowing that they're not going to get into that kind of trouble. And knowing, like you said, that they're not able to be interrogated. Because I would think if I was somebody like a cartel member, right? And I knew that I wouldn't be, you know, implicated in any of these crimes if I just used a 13-year-old, as you said, like a drug mule or getting things done. It would never get back to me. Yet you hear people like Mayor Brandon Scott in Baltimore saying, well, we want to get to the root of this problem. But with this interrogation bill, I guess you will never get to the root of it if they don't have to speak.
So the practical application is, say I'm a drug dealer, I pay a kid $1,200 a week, which is happening, to stand next to me. I'm going to put my gun and my drugs on that kid.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to do my deals and all that stuff. Never have more than an ounce on me, right? And do my deal where it's a minimal crime for me to deal drugs. Cop rolls up. even if they discover the weapon and the drugs on the kid, they're not allowed to ask, where'd you get it from? Even if the guy's standing right next to him, so he can confiscate that stuff, can't ask the kid where he got it from, can't charge him for it, walks away, and then the drug dealer just puts more stuff on him and goes about his business. And that's 100% happening.
Wow. This is a huge problem, much more so than I even imagined. Again, we're speaking to Delegate Mike Griffith here in studio. Delegate, I will just say before we go today, I mean, one of my questions here, was there a bill that passed, besides Kanaya's Law and some of these others, was there a bill that passed that you thought, you know what, this is really going to help the people?
One bill that I was the crossfire for, me and Senator Ron Watson, we introduced legislation to address the squatting problem. So we've had issues where there's individuals literally advertising vacant homes saying, you pay me $2,000, I'm going to forge a rental agreement for you, and you can stay there for 6 months, you know, before they can kick you out. And worst case scenario, they would have to bribe you to leave, right? And so passed legislation this year, and a Republican passed legislation to increase fines, penalties to a felony. What this legislation does, it increases counterfeiting or possession of a counterfeit rental agreement release, and makes it a felony. And so hopefully that's going to really start to address some of the squatter issues we have in the state. Certainly that crisis that was created by a few individuals. And again, Republicans being effective. In the General Assembly, that does not make things felonies anymore. For a Republican to introduce and pass legislation to increase a penalty for squatting to a felony, again, it's about Republicans getting stuff done in Annapolis.
Well, I'm glad that that was addressed, because it was we weren't quite certain. I mean, I know I wasn't either, because, I know Speaker Pettibelnik, she was asked whether or not the squatting issue was going to be addressed. We saw the huge viral clips from Gary Collins at Fox 45 Spotlight on Maryland, and we were watching kind of like, wow, I can't believe a landlord or any neighborhood is going through any of this. And, to find out that you guys were able to tackle this issue, I mean, that's good news.
Well, Gary did a great job covering it. And actually, the individual who helped expose the situation in Montgomery County with the woman who was occupying the $2.5 million home, he actually spoke, offered testimony on my bill when I introduced it in the House.
So. Oh, mm-hmm. Right. Okay, because he was like a college student, right?
Yeah, 19-year-old kid. And he's the one who blew the lid on that situation. And, again, he testified on my bill, so.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for all the work that you're doing, Delegate Mike Griffith. We really do appreciate it. Do you have anything coming up? And then how can people donate to you? Now you're out of session, so you can fundraise again.
I mean, Delegate Mike Griffith, I'll post a link online. We have our election coming up. We're running for re-election. Me and my co-delegate, Teresa Riley, we're running together. We've tried to serve Harford and Cecil County well, and we're hopeful that our constituents will send us back for another term. But more importantly, it's just trying to, what's most important is earning this job and trying to do good work. And, so hopefully we have another chance to go down there and fight for our citizens a little bit more.
Yeah, I will say, it maybe you feel differently, but I would say, as far as Republicans, I think you were probably top, most effective Republican this session. I know they don't give those awards out, Delegate, but I would say that you got some great legislation through, and it wasn't like, just something in the wind, like, nobody, that doesn't affect people. You got legislation through that's going to affect thousands upon thousands of Marylanders.
It's a team effort. It doesn't happen. One Republican down there doesn't get anything done. There's a team effort down there. We're all working together, keeping each other informed, complimenting each other. We have complimentary work. So I may have been the face of it, but there's a lot of people involved in getting that done. So,
well, thank you for your leadership on all of these bills that you got through, and thank you for being there fighting for us, because it does mean a lot. Delegate Mike Griffith, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll be in contact here soon. We'll come back on the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Lorien has 6 different assisted living communities throughout the Baltimore area. These are as followed: Lorien Bel Air, Lorien Tawnytown, Lorien Encore, Lorien Elk Ridge, Lorien Harmony Hall, and Lorien Mount Airy. Each of them have a unique feature that would really benefit your loved one if you are looking for assisted living services. Visit our website today at LorienAssistedLiving.com. CBMSportsCenter.com to get more information and speak to one of our sales directors.
Do you own a business? Do you want to attract new customers to your business? WCBM can help take your business to new heights with a comprehensive advertising campaign with our station. At WCBM, we can design an effective advertising campaign utilizing radio ads, digital ads, and social media. Your account executive at WCBM is an expert in creating a customized campaign that will deliver results. Visit WCBM.com or call to get started on your advertising campaign today.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
As an adult, kids want to know you're listening to them, but they also want to listen to you. When it comes to alcohol, they want to know your expectations and how and why to avoid underage drinking. Talking early and often about it in everyday conversations reinforces your message and keeps lines of communication open. For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Previously on Casey and Company.
No, we all heard it. We heard the booze. We saw a reaction to the booze. So you can pretend it didn't happen, Governor, but we heard it. We saw it. And now there's evidence. There's polling data that indicate you're not one of the most popular governors in the country. Your popularity has been slipping. Frankly, shocked it's as high as 48% approval.
Start your morning with Maryland's wake-up call. Casey and Company, weekday mornings at 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Looking for smart financial insight? Tune into On the Money with Gil Kuda. Hear strategies, market insight, and investment guidance for today's investors. On the Money with Gil Kuda. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Stay connected and informed with the latest news at the top of every hour. Then talk about it.
Wouldn't you like a little excitement for a change?
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
All right, again, thank you to Delegate Mike Griffith. Really do appreciate the conversation. Remember, I was saying before, I wasn't sure about the squatter bill because it didn't get a whole lot of light, right? And so there you have it. It did end up passing. And Delegate Mike Griffith, I know he's not going to say it, but I will say it. I think he was very effective this session. And I think, honestly, when he told his story about being in the foster care system from 12 to 18. You know, look, we can have this conversation. I don't like to put the delegates or even the senators in this situation where they have to kind of talk about the behind the scenes because I don't want to put them in that manner. But, you know, for me, when I was looking at this from the outside, right, and he told a story about growing up in the foster care system and he started talking about Kanaya Ward and the problems in the foster care system, I think there was a dynamic that truly changed. Because there are a lot of people, let's be very honest about this, there are a lot of people that believe that white men in the Republican Party have some kind of privilege and they grew up with the silver spoon and they come from a family that has generational wealth. Let's be honest about this. And I you know, of course, I'm not going to have that conversation with the delegate, but I'll have it with you. I do believe that you saw some eyebrows raised. And I do believe there were black elected officials in the General Assembly that looked at him and said, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you were in the foster care system and you're a white male Republican. You're the guy. If you're looking at his appearance, you're the guy that we tell everybody that they should fear and that they have all this privilege and that we're the ones that oppressed. See, I think it completely changed the conversation. And I don't know if, you know, sharing these stories more, you know, would be helpful. I don't think that you should have to do this, right? I don't think people should assume that you grow up with money because of the color of your skin. Just like I don't think people should assume that people grow up without money because of the color of their skin. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times people will tell me, Kim, you have such an amazing story. I'm so great that you were able to overcome obstacles. Which obstacles are you referring to? What are you talking about here? Yes, I had an obstacle, I will say, with my hair. I guess, you know, I've talked about that. We talked about it with Delegate Latoya Kongolo. That's why I testified for her one bill. And yes, when I was 15 years old, I did. I lost my hair to alopecia. It was a nightmare. We had no idea what was going on. My hormones were attacking each other. It was craziness, right? And the doctors, they didn't have any idea what was going on. But when it comes to the struggle, that was my struggle. But I've had people, you know, question whether or not there was financial struggles. Luckily, my parents they work so freaking hard that we didn't have those struggles. But people assumed that I was somehow oppressed. No, I was not oppressed. My dad had two boats sitting at Fort Washington Marina. There was no oppression here, okay? Like, there was no oppression, you know, financially, any of that stuff. And so I love the fact that he told his story because we assume so much about each other. And again, Delegate Mike Griffith, thank you for your service as well. And here's a guy, foster care system, goes into the and serves our country, comes back again to, you know, no family really to come back to, right? He was in the foster system. And then he figured it out. He got a good job, but he made it. And now he's, you know, in the General Assembly helping people that were in the same situation he was in. Now that is the American dream. That is a hell of a story. And I really, truly do appreciate it. All right, coming up next, talk about another great story. We've got Kenny Ebron joining the show. West Baltimore, I don't know about you, but after the death of Freddie Gray 11 years ago, and millions upon millions of dollars later, I'm looking around thinking, what the heck did you get out of the deal? When we come back, we'll talk to Kenny about the current status in West Baltimore. Stay right there.
Sean Casey with Vinny Steo, CEO of Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. Welcome back, Vinny. For the past 9 years now, you've been on WCBM helping families plan their next big move with your exclusive programs. And for those planning ahead this year, what's your best advice?
Yeah, Sean, 9 years and thousands of great stories. Our local market is stabilizing, which means home sellers need to be more prepared. With our Fix It to Sell program, home sellers can receive a free market evaluation to determine if repairs are even necessary. We have buyers in our database looking for homes that need work, but if they choose to do repairs, they can let us pay for them up front, and then they simply reimburse us when the home sells. Our Fix It to Sell program provides home sellers with a list of the best repairs that will yield the highest return. Work is performed by licensed contractors at our negotiated pricing to ensure you're getting the best deal.
That is such a great program. Call or text Vinny right now at 410-709-7515, 410-709-7515, or vinnysteo.com.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM, Baltimore.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump says he's taking his time, the time needed to secure a great war-ending deal with Iran. And Secretary of War Hegseth says now is the time for Tehran to make an agreement with the U.S. to end the hostilities. Gas prices creeping up a bit. AAA's national average for a gallon of regular is $4.05. That is up a couple of pennies from yesterday. 10-day ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon, it was to expire on Monday, has been extended for 3 weeks. President Trump made the announcement following a White House meeting of the Israeli and Lebanese ambassadors. South Georgia is burning wildfires, the largest of which are only 10% to 15% contained and destroyed close to 90 homes. On Wall Street, the Dow down 182 points. The Nasdaq is trading 254 points higher. More details, srnnews.com.
Spring is here, and it's time to get moving, exploring, and enjoying whatever activity awaits you this season. But if stiff, achy joints are holding you back, listen up. Glyco Plus is your ultimate joint health companion. It's an advanced blend formulated specifically for rescue natural supplements to help keep your joints flexible and moving comfortably. And right now, listeners can buy one, get one free with code RELIEF. Powered by patent collagen and a research-backed green-lipped muscle complex, Glyco Plus supports healthy cartilage and actually helps to cushion joints for smoother movement and reduced stiffness, promoting better overall mobility you'll notice over time. Just go to res-q.com and use code RELIEF to buy one bottle of Glyco Plus, get one free, or call Product Consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-262-5483. Start embracing an active life with comfort today. Shop Glyco Plus at res-q.com with code RELIEF.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. So apparently protecting Lamar was the number one priority for the Ravens last night, selecting perhaps the best guard in the draft, big 6'4", 325-pound Vavenga Ioane out of Penn State. It was a statement pick, one that Ravens GM Eric DaCosta described
as the perfect fit.
I think this guy just really checked off every single box for us as a player. Mentality, personality, ability, skill level, athletic ability, physicality, all those different things. At a very high level.
Ioane also highly thought of by, among others, NFL analyst Brian Baldinger.
Been my favorite player since I started studying this draft. You know, last year, Tyler Booker went in the first round to Dallas, and Gray Zabel went in the first round to Seattle, and they both made a big difference. They were really good players. Ioane is better. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's meaner. He looks like the greatest joy he gets in life is taking his opponent and planting him into the turf. He's really good at it.
Ironically, Ioane's parents were against him playing football in the first place, wanting their second youngest of nine children to concentrate on his studies in his native Samoa.
10th grade came around, wanted to play football real bad, so I signed myself up, got it going, and, you know, hit it from there for a little while, but didn't last long, you know, wondering where I'm at, so called him. I was like, playing the game right now, so they started showing up.
Press conference this afternoon at 5:30 in Owings Mills to introduce Vavenga Ioane as the newest Baltimore Raven. O's news not so good. Team placing tonight's scheduled starter, pitcher Dean Kramer, on the IL. 15 days with a strained quad, not eligible to return until May 5th. Brandon Young's been recalled. He made a spot start earlier this year in Chicago, pitching five innings of shutout ball. They'll pitch tonight against the Red Sox at 7:05. Coming up in 30 minutes, more on the Ravens' first-round draft choice, Vavenga Ioane. And that is Stunt on Sports.
Turf Valley Resort is your perfect destination for conferences, executive meetings, and corporate retreats, offering a variety of event spaces, 172 hotel rooms and suites, two championship golf courses, full-service restaurant, and spa. Work with our experienced team of catering and event planners to meet all of your needs. Visit turfvalley.com or call 410-465-1500. Turf Valley is centrally located in the Baltimore-Washington corridor as Maryland's premier event venue.
Your Fox 45 forecast. Warm today with temperatures in the upper 70s, but then we are tracking some scattered showers and even some storms this evening and tonight. Temperatures fall back into the low 50s. And then come Saturday, next weather maker moves in. It's going to be rainy with soaking rain at times and then cooler temperatures to go along with it. Highs only near 60. Rain showers should wrap up by early Sunday, but at that point, even cooler with highs in the upper 50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Epic parties start at Staples. You can grab Party City balloons, decorations, and tableware, plus matching custom invites, banners, and more right at Staples. That was easy.
Looking for smart financial insight? Tune into On the Money with Gil Kuda. Hear strategies, market insight, and investment guidance for today's investors. On the Money with Gil Kuda. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
From Milford Mill to Owings Mills, from Oreo Park to Brooklyn Park. This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Thank you, Kenny Ebron, for coming on the show. Yes, in West Baltimore, after the Freddie Gray riots in 2015, and $60 million later, West Baltimore, has received bike lanes and bus lanes. So congratulations to West Baltimore. That's what you got. Yay! I mean, it really is sad. It is so sad. Let's see. Marty, the text line first, does Kenny agree that if you take Route 1 corridor, you see the real Baltimore, starting at Burrell Park, Carroll Park, Pigtown, Harlem Park, Penn North, Bel Air, Edison. Does he believe it's possible, Penn North, to return to the national spotlight it had in the 50s and 60s? Oh, wow. Well, Marty, you know, I will ask Kenny these questions. I can text him over to him. You know, it's really sad because, you know, as you're mentioning here, Marty, West Baltimore, especially there, you know, Penn and North, I mean, it used to be a place that, you know, many people would flock to because you would have all these great musical artists that would come to town. And, I mean, it was just amazing to see. And, you know, it's so interesting because even when we were speaking to Councilman Mark Conway here, and, you know, he's running against Kwaisi Fume, the first thing he jumped to was racism and redlining. And it's like, well, you know, with all that you say there, that actually flies in the face of what you saw in the Penn North corridor, right? I mean, those musical artists, you know, those that built that area, those were black people and black families. And so it's just, you know, it's like they pulled the whole race card situation. But, you know, what Baltimore City used to be just showed you, you know, how black people could thrive in America. And a lot of people in that, you know, in that mindset and in that party, they'll never admit that it was the introduction of the government-assisted programs and also the introduction of, I would say, the crack cocaine and lots of the drug epidemic that also hit the area. I think that's what really did it. And, you know, I'm going to talk here in a second about the fight that you saw in Towson with all these kids earlier this week. But it's like, you know, look how far we've fallen off. But again, as soon as you mention that, as soon as you bring light to it and have this real conversation, there are so many people, even Kenny gets it, right? Here's a guy that's from there. You know, you can't say like, oh, you're like Kim Klasick where you're MAGA, you're not from Baltimore. He's not MAGA, and he is from Baltimore, and he's pointing out the same exact issues. And so for them, they would rather just keep him as quiet as possible. So I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever get any further. As far as the question of the day, should the mayor and governor be able to treat family and friends at sporting events with taxpayer money? Of course, 96% of you say no, and 3% of you say I don't care. And 1% of you say yes, it's fine. I wonder who said that. No, look, I think at some point in time, that's got to come to an end, to be honest. I mean, look, not that I think they'll use those taxpayer dollars for anything, you know, productive, because they'll just stick it in something else that means absolutely nothing to everybody. But, you know, with all these favors and perks, and then we talk about the donors coming to the suites, it's just a lot going on. And taxpayer money should not be involved. All right, real quick, because we were talking about this yesterday, the fight at the Towson bus stop. I did get a clip for you guys that I wanted to play here. And I saw the video of the kids beating up one girl as she laid on the ground. They were stomping her. It was absolutely horrific. I want you to take a listen. I think this was Keith Daigle speaking here. But take a listen. Oh, you don't. Oh, okay. So I sent it in a separate email. Brian did not get it, unfortunately. But we'll come back to it. We'll come back. Real quick, the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool may be getting a makeover. I don't know if you guys saw that. There's an NBC article out there because, of course, they don't want Trump to touch anything else. But while we pull that clip up, President Donald Trump did tout plans yesterday to coat the Lincoln Memorial's reflecting pool in an American flag blue. Yes, one of his latest construction efforts to refashion government buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C. Again, NBC News has the story. Trump says that he's going to renovate, in his quote, the filthy reflecting pool on the National Mall. Look, if you've been down there, you know that water looks horrendous. And look, they just had some renovations down there not too long ago. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I do. But, you know, if they drained it, and then put, you know, better water in, and they were able to do like a blue hue over it, I think that would look good. I don't even think there's any construction that needs to be involved there. Now, of course, I'm not in construction, and I don't know exactly if that will do it. But I would think that you could just drain the pool itself and put water in that is just a little more appealing, right? A little more reflective, right? I could be totally wrong on that, but NBC is having a total meltdown over it. And of course, half of the conversation then goes into the fact that, of course, he's still, you know, trying to do these renovations to the ballroom and, you know, the East Wing there at the White House. So they're like, they're upset. They're like, please, Trump should not be able to touch anything else. And I look at it and I say, I don't know. If you just drain the water, you know what? I don't even know if you had to announce something like that. You can probably just do it, right? I mean, look, here's what I would do. I would call Mayor Bowser and I would say, sweetheart, listen, right? Trump's little, sweetheart, listen, the reflective pool is not so reflective. All right. And it's not reflective of the beautiful woman that you are, Mayor Bowser. So what I would like to do is I would like to just drain the water that's in there, give it a good scrubbing and a clean, and then I would put the blue in it And then you'd have like this nice bright blue reflective pool. And you know what? I bet you would attract more people down there to take a look at it. More tourism. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Anyways, I just wanted to share that with you. All right, looks like we do have the clip here. Sorry about that, Brian. I should have asked you earlier if you got that other email. That's my fault. Fox 45 did talk more about that juvenile fight. Take a listen. All right, we'll pull it up in just a second here. That is my fault. It is my fault. Real quick, though, I did want to tell you while we're pulling that up. President Trump is reclassifying... Yes, he's reclassifying marijuana. Now, this is a big story for me.
Pressing county leaders looking for a response to constituents' concerns after a huge fight involving juveniles, a brutal brawl among students between the ages of 11 and 14 years old near a bus stop in Towson. The big fight, caught on cell phone video, Turnbull Brookmeyer Law Group then posted that video on Facebook. Police say it happened at about 3:40 p.m. on Lamborn Road near York Road Monday. Tonight,
it's supposed to be the safest area of Baltimore County.
A renewed call for accountability from some residents in the area, including the owner of Towson Diner, Nick Kortsounis.
Figure out what the problem is, enforce the laws, make the people safe.
Kortsounis, frustrated over the seemingly continued violence involving juveniles, with that fight happening right across the street from his business.
When you don't enforce laws, right, you let people run around rampant, juveniles taking over, what arrests were made?
The disturbance happened just blocks away from the Towson Town Center Mall, where over time we've seen crimes involving juveniles, including robbing and assaulting people at the mall. Now the big fight close by. We reached out to county leaders Thursday, including County Executive Kathy Klausmeier, wanting their response to the brutal brawl and constituents' concerns. A spokesman responded with Klausmeier saying, quote, "The safety of our kids is always a top priority, and I am horrified by the video of this incident." She goes on to say, "Violence has no place in our communities." We also reached out to Baltimore County Councilman Mike Ertel, who represents the Towson District. Ertel did not respond to our emails or text, but we've heard from him before about the matter.
Our police department was wanted initially, you know, quickly.
When he spoke out after four teens were arrested following a reported robbery and stabbing at the Towson Town Center last November. In Baltimore County...
All right. Again, that's Keith Daniels with Fox 45. Thank you for that, Brian. So a couple things there. Kathy Klausmeier, they did reach out to her office. Did you hear that? So her spokesperson, Turner, responded and said, oh, we have concerns. Yeah, right. All right. First and foremost, like I said, the video, if you got a chance to see it, the young lady that was beat up by this group of kids, and some of them are facing charges, second degree assault. She was on the ground, very busy street there in Towson. She's on the ground, cars are whizzing by. They're stopping her head in, and then there's some kids that are leaning over punching her at the same time. Now, there are some kids on the outskirts of the fight, and, you know, instigating, egging it on, screaming, ooh, and they're filming it with their cell phones, right? Again, this is at the bus stop. The next day, they call the parents in. And I guess the girl that was on the ground, this is according to the streets, but I believe it. The girl that was on the ground, her mother comes in and she tries to instigate a fight between her daughter, because she was just beat up, and some other girl that was part of the fight. So that's why, because remember we were trying to figure out why the parent was kicked out and what happened there? That's why the parent was kicked out of the school, because she was instigating the fight. This is according to everybody online, by the way. That Murder Inc. page, which is, you know, you're usually right about this, because there are people that were there. So anyway, so the mother was mad that her daughter got beat up the way she did, which any mother would be. And so she says to her daughter, you know what, go ahead and fight this girl right now. Now, no mother should say that. That's crazy. Anyway, so then the parent was put out of the school, but in the parking lot was another one of the parents, that was involved in all this. So the mother and then the other parent, apparently they get in a fight outside of the school. I mean, really? This is crazy town. Like, we're the adults in the room. We're the adults in the room. And I see this on social media all the time. And I, you know, as a woman, I see so many females fighting today in these social media videos. How did we get here? We went from, like, baking cookies in the kitchen to, like, you know, being in the workplace to being, you know, outside at 3 a.m. on the streets, you know, with guys. And then now all of a sudden, we are the ones in the brawl. Like the way this has escalated for women, I don't know how this happened. I think if I was in an all-out brawl, I would be, like, in total shock with another woman. I mean, you see it in, like, fast food restaurants. It's really bizarre. You see it at, like, the Waffle House videos. You see it at Walmart. And it's like, how did we get here? Ladies, how did we get here? Anyways, and so now, you know, the parents, I believe, that were in a fight in the parking lot, they're now banned from the school. I don't know if anything's going to happen as far as detention or suspension or even expulsion for these kids that got in this fight. But just so you know, the fight video was awful. And apparently, you didn't see it, but there are reports, and this is, I guess, what the school and everybody's saying. You know, eventually, because it's such a busy road that this girl was laying on the ground, cars ended up stopping, and there some people did get out, and they had to get the other kids off of her. Because the other kids didn't have enough common sense to know if you beat somebody's head into the ground enough, you just might kill her. And then you're facing homicide charges. So cars had to pull over to get the kids off of this girl. I mean, I don't know if it gets any worse than this. I really don't. Let's see. I got a caller on the line here. Oh, it's Joe. Joe in Baltimore. You wanted to weigh in?
Yeah, I want to talk about some local issues today, Kim.
I cannot believe this. Joe, go ahead.
I know. Special day. Just commenting on what you're talking about right now, I'm tired of seeing these crazy videos with these kids beating up each other. But this is nothing new to Baltimore. Growing up in the city, not only have I seen this, I've been on both sides of that. So I can't lie and say I haven't contributed. What I think needs to happen is we need to have an intervention, coordinate somebody within the school, within the community, who will get involved with these kids and these disputes and talk to these kids with some sense in their head. First off, let them know that there's consequences, like you said. Kick somebody in the head, you can kill them, go to jail. Other than that, you know, how can you talk about these things to de-escalate them? How can you get the parents in, get them involved, get them in the right place mentally so they're not coming back to the kid, to the school wanting to fight? Every one of these parents that comes to school to instigate a fight, they need to go to jail, be honest with you. I have no sympathy for them. You're a grown man and woman. You come into a school, a middle school or high school, for your kid to fight, you're trash. As far as the Baltimore thing earlier with Baltimore, Mayor Scott and the football games, Kim, this is like that's what they do in politics. This is nothing new.
And I said both sides of the aisle. I think it should probably just come to an end.
Honestly, I don't think it, if they're exploiting it like too much, yes, it needs to come to an end. But honestly, taking kids there, taking in potential investors there, that's what you do to court them. That's been the way it was for so long that I don't have a problem with it as long as it's not crazy. But I will say this, I want to say this to you last week. Westmore, I like Westmore, right? I do. But I will say, there's something about him that is just a little, I'm not going to say fake, but I'm going to use the word, he's trying to put on a little bit. But the reason I like him is because a while ago, when I was supposed to be at my church passing out turkeys, my uncle was there. My uncle died from addiction. He's been an addict for a long time.
I'm sorry.
He was there passing out turkeys. There's a lot of turkeys. They're heavy. They're cold. Wasn't a lot of people there. Westmore was there helping. He saw how my uncle was working hard. He pulled that man to the side and said, "Hey, man, I see how you're working hard for your community. Come take a picture with me." And the reason why I like that is because if I saw my uncle on the street, I wouldn't get that man a dollar because he looks like an addict. He acts like an addict. But what's more, look past that and say, "Hey, I see this man working hard for his community. Let me take a picture with him." And to me, that's real. Even though he came to my church the other day with his whole videographers and the cameras and all that, I was like, "Bro, that's a little too much for Easter Sunday." But I understand what you're trying to do. But that instance when my uncle shaped my mind about him. So maybe he is a little bit, I don't want to keep saying fake, but that's the only one that's coming to my mind. However, those moments like that, they shape how people like me view him. When you can get down with real people who have real problems like addicts and don't feel like you're above them, that says a lot. So that's my two cents.
All right.
Get back to your nonprofit, Cam. You need to open up Potential Me again. Seems like they need you.
Yeah, well, the young women today, I will say, Joe, they're a lot different than what they were in 2014. Like I said, I didn't realize how we got here, but you never know what might happen. Joe, thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. All right. Look, is that two calls in a row where we had a good conversation with Joe? I think so. All right, we get back. I do have a couple of things I want to mention. Stay right there real quick. Are you looking to upgrade your home? Then you've got to visit my friends at Town Appliance at Owings Mills. Their showroom is massive, featuring over 70 top brands, everything from basics to high-end technology like Whirlpool, JetAir, KitchenAid, and Maytag. Whenever I stop in to see my friends Mayer, they make the experience wonderful. They are so knowledgeable and truly happy to help you find exactly what you need. And right now, as I mentioned before, is a great time to buy at Town Appliance because they're officially kicking off their Spring Black Friday shopping event. So you can take advantage of their flexible financing options to turn those dream appliances into reality. They're open Sunday through Friday in Owings Mills. Check out their website at townappliance.com if you need more information.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon?
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Car crash? Slip and fall? Workplace injury? Serious injuries mean serious bills. Before you talk to the insurance company, talk to me. I'm the Ouch Guy. I know Maryland law, and I know how to win. Call 877-OUCH-911. Ouch Guy is Baltimore strong. Ouch Guy is Yoshua Beer.
The Rob Carson Show. Thank God it's... By the grace of God, it is finally Friday. We'll find the latest from Iran, also the Virginia vote steal referendum, plus the unusual suspects, Tony Kennett, Mary Walter, and from Hollywood and Toto, Christian Toto, noon to 3 on WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
That means that's right, it's Friday, it's the last segment of Kim Classic Live, but yes, you got Rob Carson coming up next. And we were talking about a lot of different things today, but I do want to say again, Delegate Mike Griffiths, and Kenny Ebron, thank you so much for coming in studio today. I thought both great guests, very informative. We got to talk about the state issues and then also about Baltimore City. I do have a text here from Rachel. She said, "Kim, those kids could have killed that girl. There would be no consequences or very minimal. I hate to say it, but so many in the black culture are just plain violent." Rachel, you don't have to hate to say it. I see it all the time. You know, it is unfortunate that, and I see a lot of it, it's got like this mob mentality to it. Because when I see people alone and say there's some, you know, issue, you know, the reaction is a lot different than when you see groups together, right? So the groups of juveniles, it seems to me that they are kind of, you know, I don't know if they're showing off for one another or egging each other on. And then you've got the social media element because they're pulling out their phones. I don't know. You know, do I like more government? No. Should there be some kind of penalty or a law against sharing some of these fights on social media? Have we come to that bridge? I don't know. I don't know. But something's got to change. And we got to hold people accountable. And I'm glad that Joe and I agree. You know, the parents, the adults that came to that school and decided to fight in the parking lot, that is just ridiculous. But that's where these kids are learning it, right? I mean, think about it. They're learning it at home. We got to change our ways for sure. We got to, and look, Joe again saying the whole community needs to come together and make a change. I just don't know, you know, is this generation ready to listen to some of us old folks? I don't know. But I guess we can give it a shot. All right. Again, thank you guys for listening. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Kim Klasick Live. I do appreciate it. I heard Pints in Politics was very successful last night. So congratulations to Sean Casey and Delegate Nino Mangione. Next week, we got lots to talk about. I'm sure many updates in Iran. Brian, the producer, thank you so much for a great show. I hope all of you have a great weekend. And I'll talk to you on Monday at 9 a.m.
You look sharp in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world as a guide dog?
You bet, Daisy. And your purple service dog vest really pops against your shiny fur.
First day on the job for both of us. We've got this, right?
You bet. Dogs Inc. trained us well.
Ready to make a difference for our humans?
Born ready.
Discover how extraordinary guide and service dogs change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com. This is the right choice for Maryland. Talk Radio.